Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, 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 don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And it's back to normal here at Gillette Stadium. It's like it never snowed. All the snow's been cleared out of the parking lots.
I was thinking those are some big effing piles of snow out there.
Well, yeah, but you know, had to put.
You
it
drive
somewhere.
Down that ring road, you can't tell there's a stadium. That's how high the piles are. Like it's never snowed. What are you talking about? There's tractor trailer trucks filled with snow going back and forth across the road.
Doesn't concern me. All that concerns me is what's about to happen on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. The Patriots against the Jets in the divisional playoff game.
Kirsch versus New York.
But let's get to more important things. Did you involve yourself in any more trash talk today?
Was there a press conference today?
Not for you?
No, I don't
think
so.
I just assumed you called your own.
Did I miss a phone conference?
Well, you started off on Tuesday.
Surprised you didn't go down to New York and sit in the front row.
You started off on Tuesday
Somebody's
by claiming it was personal. On Wednesday, you took the torch. I mean, you carried PFW.
Right.
You did it all.
Well, you know, all essential personnel were only required yesterday, so
that's
you guys stayed home.
And that's right.
I'm okay with that.
That's what I continue to fall back on.
Right.
But you certainly made it. You said it was personal Tuesday, and you made it personal on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what you did on Thursday. What you planned to do.
He was waiting outside Rex Ryan's house.
Now we go back to the bunker. And we get ready for Sunday.
Outstanding job by you yesterday.
Thank you.
Up until...
We haven't eaten yet. What are you doing?
That.
I just had a little bit of Pepsi Zero.
Diet Pepsi.
So, guys.
You're the zero.
Yeah. What do you think about everything that's going on? You know, because you missed all the Antonio Cromartie stuff yesterday.
I didn't miss it.
Yeah, I didn't miss it either. It was just
we weren't able to comment
on it. Very classless exchange.
I just thought it's kind of odd.
I have no problem with trash talk, as you know, Fred. I don't think it really means anything.
Right.
That, to me, was a bunch of classless nonsense from Cromartie.
But are you surprised? I mean,
no.
How many kids? How dumb is he?
He's a rockhead. 8 kids, 9 mothers.
Is that what it is?
What you'd expect.
No, I'm sorry. 9 kids, 8 mothers.
I was doing the math there, and I was like, what?
I actually gave him credit yesterday.
It was a very good year. It was.
I actually gave him credit yesterday because I only said 8 and 8. So
no, it was 9. It's 9 children, 8 mothers.
Yeah, and Brady's the a-hole. Okay.
Yeah, he's, you know, 2 and 2. You know? Yeah. It's a little different. At least he takes care of them.
But, you know, so it was fun yesterday. I'm with Paul. Most of this is just nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, the Rex Ryan stuff doesn't offend me, doesn't bother me. The Cromartie thing doesn't really bother me. I just think it's classless.
Yeah, it is classless.
Stupid.
It's also the final nail in the Jets' coffin.
Yeah, and I don't really think that matters much. I don't think. I mean, they're 8.5-point underdogs. No one gives them a chance to win anyway.
Is it that what it is now?
And they have less of a chance.
Now that's
after
what it opened
because you piss Brady off, and it's
well. And the news coming out of the Jets yesterday was Damian Woody's been placed on IR, so he's lost for the game.
I think that's significant.
And you think it's significant?
Tell, I do.
Do tell.
Well, when they run for touchdowns, they generally run off right tackle.
Is he that good?
Is he a star? No. Yeah. But he's a good, solid lineman for a team that plays power football.
I don't think it's that significant.
Now you have two big guys out because you think it's going to be a blowout.
No, I think the Jets' only way to win is to pass because I don't think they're going to run the ball well enough to win, and I don't think it's that big a deal because the Patriots have no pass rush. It's not like you say, okay, now Michael Strahan's got a great matchup over there. Okay, so never going to get there is still not going to get there.
I think Pittsburgh proved that if you just put anybody out there, even the Patriots can get pressure on you.
I think that was a little different. That was a whole – I don't know how they're filling this void, but if they're moving their left guard to thing, and if they have, like, three moves that go with it and it makes their whole –
But Paul makes
then
a good
I do,
point because –
If they have a backup right tackle, I think it's irrelevant.
Pittsburgh is known for not really having the best offensive line. A lot of the plays Roethlisberger makes on the run, running for his life, and the Patriots took advantage of that.
But they moved
around,
like, three guys. They had a bunch of guys out, and there were guys playing out of position.
And that's,
if
that's
that happens, I don't
about.
Who's playing right tackle? If you'd give me a name, if he's a backup right tackle, I think it's irrelevant. I don't think it's that big a move.
Well,
if they're moving a lot of guys around to fill the void, I think it's a bigger
deal. I think
deal.
It's relevant because I think they're going to try to run the football like they did last Saturday, and I think they'll have a less chance to do that today than they did with their starting right tackle. That's all. I don't think it's the difference between winning and losing.
Are you completely ruling out Sanchez having a good game?
Yeah.
Not as much as Andy, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he can put enough points on the board to win.
Is there anything the Jets can do to make Brady look like Manning looked last week, not scoring touchdowns? Can they hold the Patriots under 20, basically what I'm asking?
Pressure. If they don't get pressure, no. I don't think the same game plan will work on defense. I don't think Manning had as many weapons as Brady does.
Yeah,
if you just try to flood zones and let Brady sit back there, he'll sit back there and find guys open and make plays.
Yeah,
Manning doesn't have enough playmakers right now.
I agree with Andy. It's pressure, and someone might counter that by saying, well, they didn't get any pressure against the Colts, and they held them out of the end zone.
But it's a different team.
Andy answered the question.
Totally different.
He Manning had no options. You know, and I think part of that was Manning's fault. I think Manning allowed Revis to take Wayne out of the game by only targeting him one time. You can't do that. And I think when you take Wayne away from what the Colts had, there's nothing else there. I mean, Pierre Garçon's a jag. Blair White's a jag. Jacob Tammy, I think, is a decent secondary tight end, but he's a serviceable jag. He's not going to win you the game.
I think he's the poster boy for your thing. The role catches the passes, not him.
Well, absolutely. I think Dallas Clark is that.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Wes Welker. But
I think Dallas Clark's
I don't
a jag.
Think Rob,
so what do you think?
I think Rob Gronkowski
Tammy?
And Aaron Hernandez are jags. I think they're developing impressive players in this league. So you're going at least four deep for Brady as opposed to 1.5 for Manning.
According to the injury report and according to practice report yesterday, the only person that was missing from practice was Myron Pryor. Cunningham's back and Hernandez is back, although we don't know to what
Hernandez
extent.
Hernandez looks good. I saw him running to the training room. He literally was high-stepping across the
locker
room.
Some of those guys were limited, though, weren't they? I thought there was a good group of guys that
were
limited.
Out there.
Yeah, but they
were
limited in practice. Okay.
Yeah, so we don't know the extent of how much, if Hernandez is back, assuming he is, is he 100%? Just like Brad Smith for the Jets, he'll probably
or
be out there.
Or does he get hurt three plays in?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Hernandez.
But it's fake. Well, it's fake, though, because half the guys are limited, meaning they're not really limited, and half are limited, meaning they're close to not being out there.
Right.
They balance that out nicely for the percentages.
Hernandez, I think, did well with the rest that he got. Andy's right. He was sort of bouncing around the locker room today.
Hopefully he won't do that stupid strut thing into the end zone when he scores and get hurt.
Right. All right, Webb Radio.
The injury you should be concerned about, and I'm surprised it hasn't come up on Twitter, is Tom Brady had his massive ice wrap thing back on, the thing that includes elbow and shoulder, the Jason Veritek postgame, which I don't think we've seen this year. I can't personally remember seeing it this year. I've seen it in the past, last year, but he was as wrapped as he's been this year with ice and all that. I thought for sure it would be on Twitter immediately. I thought To me, that's what Twitter's made for, a quick observation in the locker room. Tom Brady filled with more ice than a blah, blah, right. You know.
And get everyone all
freaked
out.
Yeah, isn't that what Twitter's about? Like, quick hits that get people lathered up?
Just not to tell everybody what you had for lunch?
Oh. Well, I would if I had lunch, but I don't.
Well, I mean, that's interesting. Hopefully it's just, you know.
Oh, it is. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Yeah, wouldn't be funny if he's the talk of him and Cromartie and then inactive Brady?
Oh, God. And they beat him anyway. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The H-Ticket hotline is 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Early practice today, so Eric should be here like about 12:45, I think.
Who knows?
Practice ends at 12:30, I think.
Practicing on the normal practice fields, by the way, not inside the stadium.
Oh, they got those cleared, huh? Wow.
I don't really understand that. It's got to be frozen and weird.
Yeah,
why would
you
practice?
That?
But even, you're not.
Yeah.
If your game field were the same, I would say okay.
Right.
But your game field is a turf field that'll be relatively normal on game day.
Yeah. Honestly, if people aren't from around this area, and we did get dumped on, and it seems like the epicenter was right here in Foxborough.
Did you hear about that place, Florida, Massachusetts? I don't even know where it is, but
I've never heard of it.
Central Mass.
Got 36 inches.
Yeah. Wow.
That's 3 feet.
That's okay. A lot.
Yeah. So I got about at least a foot and a half at my house,
yeah.
You know. So we did get dumped on. They're working hard to clear the stadium, the seats, the parking lot. They'll get it
and
done.
And I'm thinking that might have something to do with why they're not practicing in the stadium, because there's probably a lot of work going on inside the stadium.
Oh, yeah. There's hundreds of people with shovels
and
clearing
seats. And I don't
think
that's something that Bill Belichick wants.
If I was the Jets, I'd send up 10 people because it's all volunteer.
But I know you're joking.
But I
think there's some
seriousness. It's all like day
to
workers.
That.
Yeah, there is seriousness.
You know, and you know how Bill.
I'm not joking.
You know how
you were
Bill
way
operates.
Off on Eric. He's by right now.
Yeah.
But the issue is the footing.
But evidently we're not on the
air. I think there's any.
And
so is Chris Ferreira.
We got activity.
But my issue is the footing.
I
can't imagine there's great footing out there.
Your point is well taken about the.
And I understand he wants to practice in the cold because you play in the cold. But you're not going to be playing on that footing. So
no, you're right.
Which is more valuable, the cold weather but bad footing, or being in the bubble, which you'd be on the normal field you'd be
Plus,
playing on?
Plus, you can make the bubble cold. I mean, let's face it. Maybe it
they
can't
get those
be,
big doors. Open them up.
It can't be as cold as it is outside right now, but you, I mean.
If you really wanted to, you could.
Oh, yeah.
You opened those up last
like
night.
Like Andy said, you open up the doors
it's not
and
a
leave
Florida,
those open
it's
all
exactly
night.
It's not exactly a Florida picnic in the bubble.
No.
I mean, you can get it down to 30 degrees if you want,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
And the temperature is supposed to be mid-30s for Sunday, sunny.
Well, it won't be sunny.
Ian Rappaport tweets that Brandon Spikes was wearing a yellow scout jersey.
Okay.
During practice.
See,
for special teams or
right.
for what?
That's what we get on Twitter. Nothing, you know.
Nothing about Brady being wrapped up tighter than a mummy.
Oh boy.
What's the matter, Paul?
It's been 5 minutes. I have no Pepsi.
Oh, well, right here.
This is Pepsi Zero.
This is Pepsi O right here.
Pepsi O.
Oh, Pepsi.
Pepsi O.
The new Irish Pepsi. Oh, Pepsi.
You got a practice update, or are you not situated yet? Do I need to wait a couple more minutes? Fred,
why
don't you fill the air?
Sure.
Fill the air with your little, I know you
button
like,
your shirt.
Wardrobe.
What are you doing?
Wow. Oh, Eric's
chastised.
Eric's getting threatened by my masculinity.
I'm threatened by anything.
Disgusted is more than
yeah, exactly.
Relax.
Were we not on the air? Why is Chris Ferreira here?
I don't know. What's...
He never comes in just to for no reason.
He
There's
casually was
on.
Strolling down the hall, though.
Well, I guess, you know, we use the robotic cameras in the media workroom to do the press conferences, and there was so much snow removal going up above in the stadium that Wolf Wark's press conference looked like there was an earthquake going on. It was shaking the camera.
Had nothing to do with Vince being
Wasn't
at the podium.
Vince laughing, and the whole place shook.
So,
Fat boy. Is that what he wears?
Fat boy. Yeah.
Eric's getting ready. He's got a powder blue V-neck. Sweater going on, so with a waffle
slate blue waffle weave
underneath.
So Spikes, to follow up on Rappaport there, he was wearing a penny with a 57, who I believe is Bart Scott.
I don't know, I'm not good with numbers, right?
Paul
is Bart Scott 57?
Paul Bart Scott 57, right?
Sure.
So that's interesting, but they did start out with some special teams stuff. So it might have been for that reason. But it was kind of interesting. I noticed that, too.
So do we think there's a chance that Spikes doesn't play?
Doesn't start?
Is Bill really going to teach him a lesson by putting Gary Guyton out there so that the Jets can run right at him?
No.
Fred doesn't think.
I don't
a lot
think.
Of snaps are Brandon Spikes.
I think so.
I think so,
I do, too.
Because I think so, too.
I think you want to stop the run.
Right.
It's nice to teach a guy a lesson and all, but
yeah.
Yeah, after, you know,
I want to win.
Teach him later.
It's like Seymour, you know, that first quarter they held him out
right up until the time we were struggling.
Then
he
comes out. Then he comes out and just, you know, starts killing people.
Yeah, I'd have Brandon Spikes out there, but proceed.
I agree. Yeah. I think Spikes will play, but who knows?
So once again, Myron Pryor and his back. The only issues as far as health and injury and absences out on the field. There, rest of the team's out there. Shells. Lower field, as you guys were discussing earlier.
Strange.
A little strange, yeah.
How'd the footing look? What would the field look like?
Doesn't matter.
No, it was clear.
What?
The footing doesn't matter.
No, but it matters if people are slipping around and re-injuring or aggravating
your
things.
Practice.
Oh, yeah, but it's not going to be on that field, so it's not like the footing on game day will
not be
the
same. But if it's affecting you and causing further injuries.
You're preparing for nothing like game day, and if Wes Welker's slipping trying to beat Darrell Revis in quotes off the line, that's not a productive practice.
Exactly. But, no, the field was clear down to the grass. It didn't seem like there was any trouble with that, at least at the start.
Was it tarped?
The start.
The field was not tarped. The bowl field? You know,
the practice field. Might have been.
I don't know.
Might have been, although the other day.
Did it look really clean? Like, was it
really? It looked pretty clean,
I bet you it was tarped.
It looked pretty clean.
And
except for the, you know,
the
edges there where we stand.
I bet you they tarped it.
Might have been. I saw them going into the stadium the other day with those huge rollers. You know, there's one guy at each end trying to carry those in, so they were obviously tarping that too, but I don't know if they have enough tarp for both. Maybe they do. They must.
$1 billion team. I think we can afford a second tarp.
You would think.
No.
So that's all you
pretty
got, huh?
Yeah, that's
there's so,
really,
no, right
it's
then.
It's there's really not much to report today. I mean, pretty much everyone is there.
How'd Brady look? I assume he took off that large ice thing before he went out to practice?
Yeah, okay. He did.
How was the locker room, Eric?
Not so good.
Not
a whole
good.
Lot of people. Not a whole lot of people talking.
Because yesterday there was a lot of people in there.
Well, there's a lot of activity.
A lot of activity media-wise, but not
today,
a lot of activity for the media.
God, the media was overwhelming today, making up for lost time, I guess. But I try to get a few people, Freddie, to talk about, you know, do you wish that you could kind of fire back? You know, no.
Yeah.
No, and no,
they're not
no
going.
One,
no one biting. Yeah. No one biting.
Not going there. You don't want to be the one to break the code.
You know,
no.
Yeah, and I'm not I'm not. This was all just like, you know, I'm not writing anything. Just kind of shooting the bull, as they say. And
is that what they say?
Yeah, shooting the breeze.
Just wondering if they get annoyed at it. You know,
shooting the.
And almost every one of them, Fred, that I talked to, a couple of the guys that I asked about it, just, you know, we try to let
it's around the corner.
Do the talking.
But let me
tell
you something.
It'll be a different story on the field.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Paul.
We're having a different conversation.
Brady's seething. I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely.
He hears it.
Listen, Andy and I talked about this morning.
How many times when they score is everybody on the Patriots going to start pointing at that sideline?
Oh,
Fred,
yeah.
Fred will be from the booth.
Oh, yeah. I told Doc he should have a big hand with a finger pointing at their bench from the video board.
That'd be too creative for him.
Yeah.
Well, how about a foot pointing at the Jets sideline? Can you do that?
That'd be great. I love it. I heard the Tutcher and the Rich have a contest
the
about.
The Tutcher?
I heard Andy Hart on the Tutcher and the Rich today.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Touché.
Yeah, that was when they were giving Fred props yesterday.
What were you doing on Tutcher and Rich, Andy?
Talking.
Touching.
Same thing I do every week.
Was it anything good? Were they giving you any good questions? Or?
No.
No?
It's not a very good show.
No, there's one guy, one of the two. I don't know. I can't tell the difference between
those
two.
Like they're paying me. It's just gift certificates.
One of the two was a Jets fan and basically was trying to get Andy to, you know, find a way that the Jets could be competitive in this game, because even he doesn't think the Jets can be competitive. That's the one? Well, that's ironic.
You tell the difference between the two.
Did you really?
Yeah, but you didn't.
But did you really? Did you really? What you were saying, that Brady was seething. Did you catch, and Andy and I talked about this, Fred, when he made the comment about, you know, I've been called worse.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got into it, and he said, Cromartie's a good player. Revis is a great player.
Right. I caught that.
That was intentional.
That's him firing back.
That
was as much as he's going to do.
I caught that.
That was very good. Well played by him.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Let me ask a question.
Oh.
Any chance.
I can't go to the phone right now because Kevin.
Kevin left the studio.
Yeah.
Well, you got his food, so.
I think they put mustard on this. Any chance that, yes, it's a tuna sub that tastes like it has mustard on it, which is very strange. Any chance that post-game we get a comment from Brady, assuming they win him, you know, pretty handily, kind of along the lines of the Marty Schottenheimer one, like, you know, maybe a imagine what
reference.
The game would have been if I had actually prepared for it, or just something.
Mm.
I think there could be some comments.
I think there could be on this.
This
game.
Is pretty personal.
I think from Belichick you'll get that.
I think you might get it from Brady.
No, I think there might. I think you're right, Andy. I think for this game, and I was thinking that it's funny. I was thinking that myself this morning. I'll bet you after this game somebody says something.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
and. I think those two might be locks.
My money's big money.
Belichick's a lock. Brady will say something, and then some other guys, Gronkowski or something, somebody will say something funny from one of them. But I think there'll be a lot. It's going to be a very interesting quote board in PFW postgame.
Because,
you know, again, assuming
that. And the reason why I think that's great is
who's
because.
Who's got analysis in the game?
This, you know,
I have analysis. You have all the other stuff.
So, you know, Brady?
Basically, the winner of this game gets the last word, you know, in that rivalry for this year. And I think both teams are just ready if they win to be able to get that last word. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said something from the Patriots.
It just doesn't make any sense to me for the Jets to come out publicly and act like this. It can only backfire on them.
Well, unless it's just to deflect, you know, talk from the actual matchups.
No, but the biggest problem is Rex Ryan tried to do that. He put the bullseye on him. He tried to deflect from the performance in the blowout, saying, you know, it was me, it wasn't the players. And then I think Cromartie screwed it up by opening his mouth and, idiot, I tried to put the bullseye on me so you players could have the week off, and now you come out and put the bullseye back on you and as a team.
But whether or not we in the media and fans talk about the matchup and talk about Sanchez means nothing, because we're not going to be doing – watch out there. We're not going to be doing anything on Sunday. To affect the outcome of the game. All they're doing is making these guys in the locker room down the hall more determined to come out and play their best, to focus more, and to whoop on them like they did the last time.
Why do you think it's just not this game. Why do you think Ryan feels the need, you know, every time he plays the Patriots to make sure everyone knows his team's not afraid of them?
Because he has insecurities.
You think so?
Yeah, people who have great insecurities like that need to come out and constantly reinforce. They're trying to convince themselves, not anybody else.
Right. I just wonder.
They are beautiful.
Like, you know, when
which
he
is
got,
why Andy is
yeah,
so.
When
you
he
know,
got the job, he made it clear.
The way he is.
You know, he got the job. He made it clear he's not here to kiss Belichick's rings. Okay, we get it. You're
right.
Not afraid of him. But every time he plays him, he feels the need to say.
He has an inferiority complex.
Yeah, I know that's the popular thing. I'm not a psychiatrist. Doesn't make any sense to me at all that theory. But I'll tell you who does have an inferiority complex is the Jets, the organization. They live in the shadow of the Giants.
Yeah.
And now, in their conference, they can't beat the big bullies up north.
But that's, like you said, that's the organization. Why does Ryan feel
I think he's trying to convince them. I think he's trying to change the culture. Stop, you know, feeling sorry for yourself.
Right. Maybe
what I'm saying.
You know, you might be honest with him, Paul, because maybe Ryan.
What Eric is saying is what. Basically, that's every Boston media
but I
guy.
Think you might be.
Theory.
I think Ryan might have sensed that feeling when from the day one and said,
I got to change the culture here. This team has won nothing.
This is a
for
team
30 years.
Of pussies, and I got to change them.
All right, listen.
What?
We're not supposed to say that.
And when you say it, you're supposed to say it in a hushed voice.
I think we can. I'm not sure.
He says that in a hushed voice.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Frank from New Jersey's on the phone. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We's doing good.
Nice.
Good, Frank.
Nice to hear everybody got in nice and safe after all that bad weather.
Yeah.
It's bright and sunny up here
today.
We're
good to go.
Very good.
The roads are terrible, though.
We're bad here in New Jersey, too. We got like 18 inches.
Whereabouts in New Jersey are you from?
I'm down in South Jersey towards the West Seffert type area.
I used to live in Manalapan.
Okay.
No one cares.
Yeah, it's not bad. I get a lot of beef for being a New England fan, though. You know, it was nice when New England beat the Eagles years ago in the Super Bowl. But I had a quick question for you guys. It's not necessarily pertaining to this week's game, but last Thursday, there was a lot of talk about that 12th man award that the Patriots used to do.
Yeah.
And my question on that is, when I think of the 12th man and the effects that it's had on the team, I don't necessarily think of a guy that has been on the field every single week. And the guy that I think about would be Kevin Faulk, in the way he has stayed on the sidelines coaching the young running backs, and the effect that that has had on our season, to have him out there helping Benny and Woodhead and things like that. Does the team do anything to recognize players that do that, that kind of go beyond what they really have to do?
Yeah, they keep paying them when they're hurt. No, I don't know. I'm only kidding.
No, that's actually the CBA that says they have to do that.
No, well, they could cut a guy.
They still have to pay him.
I don't know if they do.
Not publicly. There may be internal Bill Belichick football operations things they do.
Right.
But I agree. I mean, you could sell me on Kevin Faulk being a 12th player for his role as a leader and a veteran.
Yeah, I just saw him. I was in the studio, and he's doing something with the Patriots today. So.
And he's been on the sideline, and Ben Jarvis was talking about him, talking to him on the sideline. Yeah. And
no, he's definitely been not the usual guy on IR for this team. Usually they're gone. He's elected, and probably Belichick thought it was advantageous to stay around and help these guys like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead. And God, you know, if a guy of his caliber and his smarts is willing to do that, you know, I'm going to allow him to do it if I'm Bill Belichick. And, you know, but as far as making him the 12th player, I don't know about that, because according to the definition, it's a guy that's gone above and beyond what was expected.
Well, hasn't he? What wouldn't you expect when he got hurt to leave,
no,
to go home? And
that's my point. With Kevin Faulk, this is not surprising to me. I this is not a surprise at all.
So,
you know, if they told me.
So, Brady not being here, how do you treat that?
You know.
Because, I mean, as you said, generally every player who gets hurt just disappears. You're gone.
Right.
So, you're saying Brady.
But I wouldn't have been surprised if Brady stuck around either. You know?
I just think we shouldn't. Just because you think Kevin Faulk is a good leader and a good guy and a good example, you shouldn't say, well, he doesn't deserve notoriety for doing what he's doing. It's rare.
Okay, I didn't say he didn't deserve notoriety.
Well, then he should. By the way, there's no such award, so this argument is useless more than usual. But I'll give him the fictitious 12th player award. I'm okay with it.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I was just curious with that because, you know, when you listen to Benny talk, it becomes very obvious the impact he has had on our young running backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of fans maybe overlook the contribution. We always knew the contribution he gave when he was on the field, but like you said, most injured players, they just go home, and he's just been phenomenal for our guys.
Yep.
So,
I would put Fred Taylor in there, too, by the way. I think Fred Taylor's played a good role with those running backs being a leader.
Well, good point.
Oh, okay.
He's gone.
All right, Frank. Frank from Jersey.
Maybe we can just make it the 22nd player award.
Yeah.
20, you know.
We'll give a lot of guys.
27 guys, you know.
Yeah.
Don't discount Cade Weston.
Oh, boy. I
mean, Paul's
really
cranky
just,
today.
Yeah.
I'm just really
joking.
Cranky.
I'm not cranky. I'm just joking.
Wow. Sarcastic.
I'm not the one that's speaking vulgar on
What do they say? Sarcasm is the lowest form of humor?
I don't believe that.
No?
I don't either.
And
they?
Eric's stand-up career was the lowest form of humor.
Billy writes, and I keep hearing
bad, right?
All the
smack talk
from the Jets every week about the next team they're going against. I have only one question for the Jets in regards to the trash talk to the Patriots, and that question would be, when is the last time you won a Super Bowl? Do you hear that? Exactly. It's called silence. Well, that's the bottom
69.
Line.
69.
Right? Isn't that the bottom line?
Not really. That really has nothing to do with this Sunday's game.
Nothing.
Nothing,
nothing
at
all.
All. And I learned that from a very, very intelligent man named Bill Belichick.
Jaeger writes in, although I'm
Meister?
Just 15 years old, I love listening to you guys, but honestly, I'm concerned that everyone is so ready for the Patriots to beat the Jets because, honestly, I don't think we have the best defense. And I don't think we can all say that they are good enough to always stop the run. I always wish for the Patriots to win these games and F the Jets, but I mean, I don't believe we can all say that it will be this easy. I'm going to say 31-27, just like the Packers game.
Oh, I like the 31, but 27 is a little much, even with the
concerns on
defense. Unless
there's some defensive scores in there, maybe.
Yeah, but I think the Jets will get in the teens, and that'll be it.
Okay.
No one cares.
Andrew was in Elizabethton, Tennessee.
Where were you yesterday?
Just want to get this. Just want to get this on the air.
Wait a minute. Just say it now. Well, oh, that's interesting. Why? I don't know. Just have a feeling.
Where were you yesterday? Were you here? Oh. Yeah, I know.
Fred was outstanding. From what I've heard.
He had a lot to talk about.
He turned into professional
radio. You had a great day to have a one-man show,
It was a show that ran itself.
It really did.
What happened?
I'm trying to give you props here. I heard that you were very professional.
Way better
Who'd
than
you
Paul's.
Hear from?
I heard it from a number of different people. I did.
Who'd you hear from?
You don't know from
you don't
who
know
I
from.
Heard. Andy Hart is one of them that said it.
Yeah.
And he throws compliments around like manhole covers.
Yeah. Andrew, what
I throw
says,
those around when I wanted to. I knew that was coming. Me and Thomas Clayton.
Yesterday, Andrew says, talking about me, he said, you said that everybody hates the Patriots because they're good, but how come people all over from different states like the Steelers? Patriots 38-13. I think people all over like the Patriots, too. Patriots fans from all over. Just like Steelers fans from all over
actually,
like the Steelers. If you're not a Steelers fan, you don't like the Steelers.
I actually just cleared a comment.
They're another team that everybody hates because they've been good for so long.
I just posted a comment on the blog, Fred, from a Falcon fan who said he's always liked the Patriots and respected the Patriots for the way they do their business.
That's just because of Dimitroff has
Absolutely.
Told him to.
Right.
Well, it was
I
funny.
I want to know.
The comment was from Tom D. So I.
When did Brady become a villain?
Now
he's
a villain.
Now he's got the Suggs thing, Cromartie thing. Seems like I don't remember like Joe Montana having guys that outright came out and said, I hate him. I hate him.
Good point. I think the internet has a lot to do with it in, you know, the 24-hour coverage.
This is going to sound stupid, but I think that some of the appearance has
Me too. My question is,
yeah, he's a pretty boy.
He was always Derek Jeter.
But he was always
when
a pretty
did he
boy?
Stop being Derek Jeter and become hateable? Derek Jeter's not hateable. Everybody says, you just got to respect what Derek Jeter does.
Wait a minute.
I'd love to have Derek
I
Jeter.
Mean, he was always a Jeter.
No one hates Jeter.
The T-shirts?
But wait a minute, Fred.
They don't.
Red Sox
they
fans
don't.
Hate Jeter because he's a Yankee.
Yankees suck. Right. Jeter swallows.
It's a joke. But every one of them says, I hate to admit it, but I respect the hell out of the guy.
A lot of Red Sox fans feel that way.
All of them. And I'm talking about the loons, the WEEI type loons.
But nobody.
Don't they say same thing about Brady? They respect him?
I don't know. Seems like there's more hate now.
They do respect him, but a lot of people around the country. I'm not talking about Boston and New York. Brady, there's a lot of hate out there all of a sudden. And I think part of it, I know it sounds silly. Is the hair. Well, forget about people in this building who've talked about him for years.
Well, no, I think you're right, Paul, but I think it's the whole
I'm
glamour
Great.
Boy, you know, the supermodel wife and the hair and the clothes.
I think that
it's all
I think
that.
That's part of it.
Yeah,
I do.
It's all of it.
You know, oh, where's he now? He's in Milan or he's at Costa Rica, and, you know.
And in Boston,
an
we've never
that.
Had that.
He does kind of rub like your him. Nose in how great his
no,
life
people
is.
People don't like it.
In Boston, we've never had that. Our superstars,
we love it because he's got it. He's got the it factor.
But our superstars of the past, like Bobby Orr and Larry Bird, were lunch pail guys.
Right.
You know, they weren't, you know, the superstar glamour guys like Joe Namath and some of the other superstars that other cities have enjoyed. This is the first time we've ever had a glamour superstar.
But what? But that why do other places hate him? Like I think he's crossed a line into a villain figure.
Because that's it. I mean, people. I think we just said it because of the glamour. I think he goes beyond just being that sports guy, and he's and people that rubs people the wrong way unless
like,
he's on your team.
And if you're like Joe Average, living in like the Midwest or something, and you're like, all right, you have to be this incredibly good-looking guy who's incredibly talented, has this incredibly hot wife and does all these incredible things.
That's a lot of incredibles.
Now you're going to go out and you're going to make yourself look as bad as you possibly can and just really rub our faces. I mean, like, now you're intentionally trying to make your appearance not look good, and yet you're still going to do all these incredible things. I don't know.
That's
incredible. I think people just, like Fred said, I think part of it is just, you know.
It's so good it's sickening?
It's a jealousy, you know, and it gets to the point where it's.
Oh, well, yeah, it is jealousy. It all stems from jealousy.
You lash back, you know. Yeah. There's a backlash, I should say.
Yeah. Andy in Philly says, do you think Rex Ryan will cry after the Jets lose on Sunday to the Patriots? I think Rex Ryan thinks you can lose weight by talking BS to the media. Well, maybe that's a strategy.
I think if they lost in a really excruciating fashion, like the opposite of the way they won the game, if Shane Graham kicks a field goal in the last play of the game, I think he could cry. I think you could tear up in the postgame.
If it's close, more so than if it's a blowout.
Oh, if it's a blowout, you...
Because then you can say, wow, you know, they got the better of us twice. They're clearly the better team.
Here's the thing. When you get blown out, you have time during the course of the blowout to come to the grips with the fact that you lost.
Yeah.
And that prepares you for your,
you get psychologically prepared, as Fred likes to say.
Right. No, it's true. It's true.
When you lose on the last play of the game, literally 15 minutes later, you're standing in front of cameras and you're explaining how you just lost.
And that's why those networks are so hot to be on the field, because they want to get guys walking off in the heat of the moment.
A visceral reaction.
Right.
You know? How come they
Leslie Visser reaction.
That's good, Fred.
Let's see, 508-543-7482. Patrick from Minnesota is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Good, eh?
Good, good. I'm sorry I'm not able to listen to you live today. I'm calling from a fish house on a lake in northern Minnesota right now.
They really do that?
This is going to be a first. Put a pin in the map.
We've never had anyone, I think, ice fishing while they call this show.
Well, I'm hoping I don't catch anything while I'm talking to you guys here.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool, yeah. Fred will be very excited.
It's like we'll try to keep
Frank
it tame.
Got rear-ended.
What are you fishing for, Patrick?
Fishing for walleyes. But so far not catching anything but little perch.
Okay.
So, but it keeps the day going.
Sure.
Hey, I wanted to tell you guys, I've been a long-time Patriot fan, long-time listener to you guys. You are just kind of the lifeline for me. There ain't too many Patriot fans here in northern Minnesota, so...
Not too many people in northern Minnesota.
Not too many people, especially this time of year. They all go south. But Fred, throw me into the group of people that think you did a great job yesterday.
I was listening to you
on the podcast, and very professional, and it was weird to listen to you be able to finish a point without, you know, three or four other comments coming in from the side to give a different opinion.
I hear you.
But I've got just two real quick points. One is, you know, I know Cromartie and everybody and Rex and all that's been quite a deal, and I'm sure it's part of your show again today. But, you know, I guess my thought is the only way to shut them up ever is going to be to beat them and beat them soundly, and it'll just make it a little bit sweeter when it happens. You know, and I guess if a couple of years go by and they don't accomplish too much. They've actually gotten to the deep in the playoffs 2 years, so it's going to work for them for a while. But people will get tired of them if they don't get to the Super Bowl like they say they're going to.
That's true.
In regards to the game, and you know, I'm fairly fairly confident going in. I'm actually thinking more like 38-17. But the one thing, and maybe you guys can help me feel better about this, the one thing that does concern me specifically about the defense, because I think if we get up on them. And then if we make them one-dimensional, we'll be fine. But if it stays close early on, how about our third-down defense? If we allow them to run it twice and then have, you know, Sanchez dink one for 3 yards and keep moving the chains, you think we'll do okay?
Well, if they're third and longs, I feel a little bit better. He'll convert his share, but he'll also do that one that will just stall the drive because he was inaccurate. But third and short, you're right. The Patriots will be in trouble because they'll keep the ball all day. But if they can get him into those third and longs.
If he can be accurate. See, I think early in the game, in the blowout, he had his fair share of third and shorts and back-shouldered guys, hit guys in the shin. That's, you know, those crossing routes were there.
Yeah.
He was just missing them. So I understand the fear of the, you know, getting off the field because that has not been a Patriots strength all year on third down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just don't think – if I'm a Jets fan, I don't have the faith that like Andy said, I don't have the faith that Sanchez can come to Foxborough and do those things.
Yeah, and I just – I think if I was in the Jets' mind, if, you know, if you can keep it close for the first half, you got a shot. But if we get – you know, if we get up by a couple scores quick,
turn out the lights.
It could be a long day.
Oh, we talked about that.
It's imperative for the Jets to be competitive. And be within a score at halftime. If they're not, the game's over.
It'll be abandoned ship on the sideline.
I actually think they need to be in the lead at halftime to have a chance to win this game. I don't think they come from behind and win this game.
Yeah.
I think they need to get the lead early in the game and maintain the lead in order to win. I don't think they're going to stay close and then steal it at the end the way they did to the Colts.
Yeah, I would agree. Hey, thank you, guys.
Okay.
All right, good luck, sir.
We love hearing from you.
Don't fall through the ice.
Catch a big one.
I'll do that. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Wow. Mark,
that was a very clear call for a guy who's sitting in northern Minnesota.
Like, I think of those, you know, the only experience I have with anything like that is in the movies. When you see them sometimes, like the Grumpy Old Men movie there with Walt. No.
Says the guy. How is that something that, I mean, that's something everybody
does? I've only been regular fishing once. Why? Life.
You think every kid goes ice fishing? You're an idiot. Like, who thinks that everybody
goes
ice
fishing?
See,
that's what I was envisioning, like one of those huts.
Yeah, I've never been ice fishing, and I have no desire to do it.
Those things don't look like they have a lot of amenities.
Some of them are good size.
Do you have ESPN? No, I mean in the ice hut. Seriously, who lets him talk?
He's the dumbest person I've ever met.
He has the ability to turn our mics off. We need the ability
to
turn his off.
Show. You and Gronkowski I want to hear.
I want to hear.
That'd be pretty cool.
I want to hear how he makes awesome. Ice fishing awesome. Exciting. Go, Kevin.
Oh, I just had a feeling.
You do it in an ice house,
and you only have one hole.
What? Two? Now you got two holes.
Rex likes it on all three holes.
This is the best ice fishing ever. There's holes everywhere.
I know how it works, but that's not exciting. See, no, but...
That makes you an ice hole.
Yeah, but while you...
and if I just blow the pond up, fish will be falling out of the sky.
But ice fishing is just sitting around waiting for that flag to go up. I like fly fishing because you're constantly doing something, you know? Holy crap.
But I've seen Winnipesaukee. You drive by there. They're all over the
ice. Oh, I know.
And some of them are good size because they drive their trucks out with them. They
get out there,
they
drink their beer, and they
ice fish.
Not
for all the money in the world.
They do. It's. I don't know if they necessarily have cable, but they have like generators with heat and electricity and everything. And
just stay in and watch TV.
I've already thought about getting one of those. I told you, my sons, they keep asking me. They want to sleep out in the backyard in the tent.
Right.
And I keep trying to figure out how, like, what window I could run the cable line out.
Sure.
You have so many issues, it's not funny. Quality time with Dad. Bring the TV.
Yep. I'm going to fall asleep, guy. Then what do you do?
Go to sleep.
Mark writes in, Cromartie's comments demonstrate the level of frustration playing against Tom Brady. When he played for the San Diego Chargers, New England came to town, I believe, in 05 when Indy won the Super Bowl. The 14-2 Chargers' plans of Super Bowl fame was derailed by Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in a battle royal of a game. After the game, LaDainian Thomas had whined about one of the Patriots doing the Sean Merriman lights out dance at the 50-yard line. LT said that the Patriots players had no class, just like their coach. Now, once again, they're looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, which is the proverbial New England Patriots and Tom at the controls of an oncoming train. Sorry about your luck, Chrome and LT, but no new ring for you two. If I was not a Pats fan, I'd probably hate him too. He's just the best quarterback in the game today. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the league. Just sucks to be the other guy trying to win the Super Bowl. I've been a Pats fan since the Jim Plunkett and Minnie Mac Heron days. How about them Patriots?
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
So.
Yeah, Cromartie even said that. He talked about, since I've been in the league and I was in San Diego, he gave the history with the Patriots and Chargers and him and Bray, you know, why he hates them.
Yeah, I think Ellis Hobbs was one of them.
Pretty much the whole team was doing the lights
out. Wilfork, Colvin, Ellis Hobbs. Mm. And that's when they called, I think it was Rivers that called Hobbs the sorriest cornerback in the league.
Yeah, and LT was...
not far off.
Yeah. That's what LT got all mad.
Oh, no, that was a completely... Listen, you can be as mad as you want when you lose a game, but until you beat them, you don't get a chance to say anything about it. So that just came off as sour grapes, sore loser. You know, some people would say sore loser and sore winner. Like, you know, you're talking about all that stuff with the Patriots at that time. It doesn't matter if you can't do anything about it. They were sore winners that day. But you can't do anything about it until you beat them. And no one has ever done it. Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, that was, talk about.
It was 2006. The Chargers were the far better team, and. Yeah,
talk about cardiac arrest. Oh, my God. I mean, the Patriots should have lost that game.
Oh,
that
God,
was
yeah.
a miracle.
Yep.
You know? Patrick in Virginia, if the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl, would you be scared to play the Packers? And P.S., have you seen the leaked tape of Andy and James Sanders? He deserves a 4-game suspension.
What?
Is there a tape out there of you and James Sanders?
I doubt it. I'll never say definitively no.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not ruling it out. I wouldn't be afraid of anybody.
What do you mean fear? I'll pick the Patriots, but I'll see ways the Packers can win. I mean, they were competitive.
They almost
with
won
Flynn.
With Matt Flynn, exactly. So,
yeah, I think the Packers might
fear no one. Respect them all.
Yeah, I think the Packers are probably the toughest matchup.
Well, with,
in the NFC,
now that they finally gave James Starks the ball, and
I think Atlanta would be tough too on a
Patriots
a turf
40,
indoor surface.
40 I think plus. They will wipe the field with
40
the
plus. The Patriots put up on Atlanta. Easy.
Oh, I still think they'll put up 40, but I think Atlanta could score it though too.
Yeah, Fritz Schirmer.
Mike from Cambridge says, "Hey Fred, it's a 15-year-old Mike in Cambridge on a different email, so don't confuse me with my dad. If you're reading this on the air, I am currently taking a math exam. I'm going to the game.
Are they taking a math exam?
I'm going to the game Sunday after promising I would study really hard for midterms and also promising I would be nicer to my older brother. And I was wondering if you thought this would be a good sign to bring. Smells like defeat. I love it. Also, if you hear a dirty Sanchez chant, that will also be my doing. Love the show and look
Someone
for me.
Someone thinks awfully high of themselves.
Look for me in section 142. And P.S., he wants to know if he can come in. Well, we'll see. We don't really allow people under 18 into the show.
Yeah, because you really can't. I mean, asking a...
Unless they're hot
we're drinking, we're smoking pot. But I just can't have...
Asking a 15-year-old to buy you lunch, that you just know. Seems wrong.
No, his dad.
No.
So it's like American Idol for heckling. I like it.
Let's see.
Bill Berry writes
Creativity
in.
Creativity or my couch?
ask B-Lo if he plays Vampire Wars on Facebook. I just beat up a B-Lo whose avatar was a chick with a white monkey on his shoulder, red bat wings, and a sword.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world. He was not familiar with it. I asked him.
Oh, you did?
Room. Yes.
Okay.
He says he's not
How
on
How did
Facebook.
You see that?
See what?
That email.
Yeah. In my email.
Oh.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world now?
No. He sends those to, like, something else.
By the way, yesterday on the show, everybody who called in was from Florida. It was unbelievable.
I know. I heard
you
getting all upset.
They were mocking me. Just mocking me.
Well, if they were from Florida Mass, they were getting ambushed with snow. Yeah.
I never heard of a Florida Mass.
I didn't either until this morning when they said they had 3 feet of snow.
Why are you laughing at me? I never heard of it.
Jimmy. There's a Florida Mass?
Is there a Massachusetts?
Oh, there really is?
Yeah, it's supposedly the town that got hit the
they
hardest.
Got 3 feet of snow. Look it up, Nimrod.
And of course, the Patriots are trying to claim that
Foxborough
was the
right.
Dave in Florida.
That's what we do.
This is good with Rex and players talking because this is not the first time a player or coach have said something about them. But if you look back, the Pats have came out and crushed the other teams. 2007, when the cornerback was spouting off and Brady dropped a bomb on a flea flicker to the wideout. I hope they put another 40 burger on them.
What's a 40 burger?
40 burger.
I assume it means 40
40 points.
Yeah. I'm going to go on the limb.
Drop a deuce on them. Yeah, that doesn't mean
well, they
two,
might
Paul.
Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
I have a task for our listeners.
Oh, boy.
You know, strippers and those guys. I want someone to find, and it has to be a sample size of, say, at least 10 games.
Scientifically legitimate sample.
Okay. I want to find a scenario that the Patriots have played in over the last 11 years, or not 11, Brady and Belichick are together since week 3 of 2001, right? That they don't have
11 years.
They don't have a 75% winning percentage or better.
Belichick right, red sweatshirt.
In a dome.
Well, yeah, you have to have a sampling of at least.
You know, on turf,
yeah,
on grass.
Something like that, you have to have
in,
a sample.
In good weather, bad weather, trash-talked, not trash-talked. Neutral site, home road. Find me a scenario that they don't have.
On the road against the Colts.
At least a 75% winning percentage.
And do it in the next hour and 10 minutes because we don't have a show after this.
He's got all these rules.
One game. There's one rule. It has to be a sample size of at least 10. That's my only rule.
Okay, go. Starting now. Clock's ticking.
Oh.
Sample size.
Paul's waiting for somebody else to do it.
You have 71
Meanwhile, Dave in Alexandria says, guys of PFW.
Well, I gave it a little thought. I didn't come up with anything.
And Eric with a K. I'm guessing the K stands for condescending or possibly can't drive in the snow. It seems like everything is working out in the Patriots'
favor. I'm
going
to go with the former.
Or the Ravens punter.
While I'm not thrilled about facing the Jets again, I'd rather face them than any of the other remaining AFC teams.
No, it isn't.
That said, I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game. Hopefully with Cromartie shooting his mouth off and Rex now focusing on dumbing down his game plan for his players, we'll come out of the gate swinging and put them on their heels. I have two quick questions based on topics raised in Fred's solo performance yesterday. First, are you guys allowed to put up arguably controversial chants on the video boards like F-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet? Or would the Pats get sanctioned by the NFL if you were seen to be encouraging inappropriate conduct by the fans? I don't see why that's inappropriate. I don't. There's not. What's wrong with feet?
You can't incite crowds, can you?
Now you can. There's a new rule. You can incite crowds.
So is it okay if they put... forget it. I'm just going to get in trouble, so I won't.
Second, what more subtle digs at them, such as,
so
remember Pats
you.
Fans point at the Jets? I'm curious as to how constrained
easy
Kevin...
Easy for you to say.
Well, he didn't. He spelled it wrong. So I had to figure out what he was saying. Constrained Kevin and Doc are. I recall them once mentioning they'd likely get in trouble if they played Who Let the Dogs Out if Vic was in town. But I love the idea of playing prior statements made by the Jets about how great they are once the nod has been given and the game is out of reach.
I have a lot of pressure this week, huh?
In the spirit of playoffs, I also have two
really.
Final requests.
I can't have one of those reckless...
if you're wrong, people will just forget like they have over the last 3 years.
Well, there was that infamous time that I actually gave the nod when we were losing. I can't have one of those reckless nods.
First, I suggest PFW listeners cough up a reward for someone to dig up that football that Rex buried and bring it to the game, or suggest fans show up to the game with as many deflated, dirt-covered footballs as they can find. Second, can you guys keep track of your favorite fan signs spotted during the game in antics by the Pats on the video board? I expect our fans to be in full taunting mode with Rex and his foot soldiers coming to town.
Oh, well done there.
That was very good. And they never seem... Ah, damn it. What happened? I hit the wrong button.
Did you see...
that was a good email,
did
too.
You see the...
that was a good email.
Was it the
talk
Post?
Amongst yourselves while I
was it the Post or one of the New York papers had the headline, The Roar versus the Boar?
Yeah.
One of our blog readers commented that that we should have a counter headline that says, The Hoodie versus the Footy.
Good.
Which was...
Love it.
I thought was pretty good.
Love it.
How about the Champ versus the Chump?
I found it.
It's not a bad one either.
I'm back.
Remember that one.
Anyway, Dave says, keep up the good work. I'm heading up to Massachusetts to watch the game with my dad. It's always good to watch playoff football with
family. You told us to talk amongst ourselves.
And then it starts again.
That's Dave in Alexandria.
He does. He thinks he's alone again.
He talks out of nowhere.
I went to his head yesterday having his own show, his own forum for 2 hours.
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jim from Texas is on the line. Hey, Jim.
Jimmy.
Hey, long time, guys. How y'all doing?
Very
good.
Long time.
Where hey, you been?
Jim. Well, I'm working. I mean, I got a new schedule where they got me working, you know, in daylight, and I'm dealing with the plagues of mankind when your show's on. But I took a break today because I knew this show was going to be phenomenal. I downloaded yesterday's podcast, and holy crap, Fred, I couldn't believe every dude that called you was from below the Mason-Dixon line.
I know.
That was bizarre. So I'm calling. Yeah. But anyways, in regards to all that, I just want to throw something out. I don't know if it's been covered or not. I've been working like a mad fool. I moved my family to Texas, actually. So now they're with me full-time. I'm very grateful for that.
Nice.
But, I don't remember a couple of years ago, there was a defensive back that played for the Steelers, and he was talking a lot of smack during the week, and Brady...
Anthony Smith, the safety.
And they actually said they were going to they targeted him after the game was over on a particular play where they scored a touchdown and pretty much spiked it in the guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cromartie, this is my belief, I've never spoken to anybody in the Jets, but I think Cromartie and Revis kind of both know that if they play the Patriots like they played the first time, they're going to get run out of the gym, and here's why. They're not going to throw at them a lot, and when they do, it'll be when the matchups favor us, meaning Welker or Branch being covered by Cromartie. They won't throw to Revis very often, and if they depend on their safeties and middle backers to cover our tight ends and backs, they're going to get stomped. So I think what Cromartie is trying to do is incite Brady to try to target him more, because I think the only chance they got of beating us, and this is just a thought, is if they can run the ball, keep the clock, time of possession in their favor, and if they can get Brady to turn him over with a couple of picks, because I don't think that they can lean back and score 30 points, because that's a very average Colt defense that they only scored, 17 against?
Mm-hmm.
That Colt defense really is not that great, and they're supposed to be weak against the run, game conditions were ideal. They're in a dome. And, again, if you look at the Jets, they had one good drive. It was the last one. But, geez, Mark Sanchez on back-to-back third and fives overthrew his receiver by 5 yards. Your thoughts?
No, I think you're right on. I think that Colts defense isn't that great, and a good offense should definitely score more than 17 points on them.
I would disagree, though. They had more than one good drive.
Well, they had
the first two drives out of the half were great.
Drives.
They drove the ball right down their throat, running 8 of 10 times and 11
third and
of 15.
And the 5 at the end of the game that would have
but they couldn't do it when they
would
got
have
in the
moved
red
the chains.
Zone.
They scored two touchdowns.
The
two one-yard touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
The Jets.
Clearly their game plan in that second half was run the ball down their throat and hold on to the football. That's going to cut down on the possessions for both teams. Right. 14 points came on two drives to open the half that ended in 1 yard touchdowns.
They scored 17 points.
How many points do you think you're going to score when you have 17 play drives to score those points?
That's what they wanted to do.
That's what they were trying to do. That was the game plan.
That was what they were aiming to do, is shorten the game a little bit. Andy's dead on. I mean, they scored on three of their four possessions in the second half and won the game. That's what they were trying to do.
I think any team that is going to beat the Patriots is going to have time of possession like the Green Bay Packers did when we played them recently and have the ball for about 40 minutes.
Right, and that's what you have to do to the Patriots, I think, to win right now, because I
totally agree.
The offense is just too good.
There's no team right now, with the exception of maybe Atlanta, that's going to get into a shootout with us and beat us. I think the only team that could do that, and I don't think they can do it, by the way, but if there's one team that has the weapons on offense to do it, I think that would be it. I don't think, again, so here's another question. I'm down here in Texas where it's probably like fall to you guys. any rate, what is the game conditions going to be like on Sunday?
Mid to low 30s, sunny.
Oof.
Yeah.
Will the field be clear or will it be windy?
No, it'll be fine. And I don't know about wind. I haven't heard anything about a lot of wind.
It's not going to be sunny.
No?
This game starts at 4:30.
Well, yeah.
The sun will be going down.
I mean, it's not going to be. There's no
precipitation. It's going to be, in essence, a night game.
Yeah, it'll be a night game. From what I saw, I think it's going to be a little cooler than that, high 20s.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, guys, as always, Fred, you are the wellspring from which all hope is derived in this nation of patriots.
Those are
land.
The ones I love from
Thank
Jim.
You. Thank you.
That's the absolute truth. I mean, there was a couple of times I was prepared to jump off the bridge of the ship into the Gulf of Mexico and end it all. But you brought me back after the Cleveland game because I was teetering a few times.
All right.
Because I take the podcast with me on my little iPod shuffle or whatever. But, guys, great show, y'all, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
It's funny. His bridge is different. His bridge is on a boat he was going to jump off.
It's in the Gulf of Mexico,
right.
Too, so, you know, steer clear of that oil.
There was just one of those Andy Hart-like scrolls on ESPN, and it said, just in. Stanford offensive coordinator David Shaw named offensive coordinator.
Generalissimo Francisco Franco, still dead.
Lunch today is brought to us by Chris from Toronto.
Thank you,
Chris.
Thank you, eh?
Thank you.
Hey, guys, and
thanks,
Eric,
Chris.
He says, I hope you enjoy
Screw
lunch
you.
Today. Hopefully Mr. AK-47 got it for you on time. May the sandwiches be fully dressed, Fred, the calzones uncut, Andy, and the Diet Pepsi plentiful, Paul. And Fred, per your comments from yesterday, I hope you're getting more than just a couple of slices, the nerve of that Paul claiming an entire pie for himself.
Oh, I heard that shot.
What did
Paul.
I do?
Well, we were
clearly he was telling
we were kidding around because we had two pizzas and it was just me. I go, well, that's great because now I'll get more than two slices because usually Paul has a whole pie.
Oh.
That's not right.
That's not right.
I can say whatever I want.
He monopolizes the soda.
Up.
He doesn't monopolize the pizza.
That's true.
I do
monopolize the soda.
I'm going to do something that my fellow emailers and callers rarely do and keep this brief. What are your keys to the game for the Patriots this Sunday, and under what scenarios, if any, do you see the Jets, dare I say, winning this football game?
Jets score more points.
And P.S., can we expect a regular roster report podcast tomorrow afternoon, or have these been discontinued until the regular season next year? My humble opinion, this is one of the underrated features on Patriots.com, especially when Andy and Paul can get into it for 12 minutes over the definition of the word ready, as they did prior to the Cleveland game. Really?
I was right in that.
You guys
right?
argued about the word ready?
No, I don't think so.
I think I was right.
No, I don't
we
think
did.
So.
We did. We are. It was Logan Mankins related, whether he needed to be ready for
right,
Pittsburgh,
right.
ready for this game. Did he need a tune-up? What does ready mean? Paul kept saying, if he's ready to play, he'll play. And I said, well, what does ready mean?
Yeah. I mean, he was being.
We did. We literally
he
went
was
12 minutes on
typical,
it.
Typical, obstinate Andy Hart self. And no, we have not discontinued them, but during the holidays, we took a couple of Fridays off.
Yeah. We'll be back
Fred,
tomorrow.
Fred was kind enough to allow us to recharge
tomorrow
the batteries
we'll
during the bye
of...
week. We will be back. Atiyah Ellison, gone. Just to, you know, I don't. It's a little tease. In
but
the,
since
in
we
the
never,
business, call that,
since we never brought him in, there was no podcast to bring him in.
So yeah, Andy and I will be back tomorrow for that.
Did we sign a guy?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I saw a short nose tackle type strutting through the locker room today that I'd never seen before in my life.
Landon Cohen, perhaps?
Oh, that's him?
Could be.
Thought I've seen him before. Does he have a one of those like a...
Like a chin strap mustache or
yeah,
a beard? Yeah, I think he does.
And he looks like a nose tackle? I thought Cohen was smaller. How big is he?
They list him as 6'3", but...
Oh, no. This guy
there's
was
no way. He's
6 foot if.
Yeah. That's
this
Landon
guy's
Cohen.
I
think that's Landon Cohen.
Tree stump.
Yeah.
I like his look. And it's got nothing to do with anything that you guys want to talk about. I just like his look as a backup nose tackle.
Yeah, what exactly do I want to talk about?
You know, his last name, how it's
interesting. Oh, I want to talk about that.
Dwight from Alabama.
Oh, Fred, quick, do you watch NCIS?
No.
There was a Patriots reference in the end of NCIS last night. A guy was going to take some vacation time and then decided not to because he was worried about getting replaced by whoever filled in. And he goes, it's like when Drew Bledsoe went down. All of a sudden we had Tom Brady, and now he's got Giselle. You never know what's going to happen.
There you go.
Wow. I thought it was interesting.
That's why people hate
I wonder if John and Ellie is running for NCIS now.
No.
Dwight
it is the top show on TV, and no offense to him, but he's working his way up with on a...
It was a joke, a-hole.
I know. He's
look
unbelievable.
At you.
God almighty.
Taking shots.
Such venom.
You should be at Eric, a Jet. Taking shots at John.
You should be playing for the Jets. With that
Eric
kind of
says,
attitude.
Geez, I wonder if it's John. O- no.
No, it's a top ranked show. I watched the show. Let us know if he had gone from something on USA to the number one show on CBS.
Yeah. Lighten up.
He let us know when he went from waiter to.
You need
writer.
To cut down to 1 hour energy.
It's yeah. Pat Shermer, by the way. I think I called him Ray.
Or Fritz.
Ray Shermer. let's see. Dwight from Alabama, would you be shocked if the Patriots played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl? Also, do you think the Pats will use their first three picks in the draft or trade them for more picks? And P.S., is there a way, being in Alabama, that I can buy you guys lunch? Absolutely.
Of course there is.
It's called a credit card.
It doesn't matter where you are.
Call.
If not, we'll send Kevin to pick up cash.
Kevin will let you know how that's done.
Not to be confused with Kevin Cash, former Red Sox catcher.
Thanks, Fritz.
That was my joke, Castiglione.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Hakeem from Lincoln.
You called him Fritz. I called him Ray.
Who's Ray Shermer?
It's Ray Sherman.
Yeah, at least mine was the last
Fritz.
Right
I was
last
thinking
name.
Fritz
is his dad, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I was closer.
He's a cool cat. This is Hakeem
I don't
from
get it.
What?
I don't get it.
Fritz the cat?
Never heard of him.
Crickets. I know crickets.
Oh no, that was Felix.
Felix. That's why I've never heard of him. I was waiting for Brooklyn Matt to defend you and tell me who Fritz the cat is.
Oh, Felix. Felix.
I haven't heard of
Felix
that.
The cat.
Right.
The
Paul
wonderful,
knows.
Wonderful cat.
Yes, his name is Felix, not Fritz.
Fritz the bear?
Yogi the bear. Yogi Berra.
You never heard of Felix the cat? Oh, come on.
Hey, Brooklyn Matt, why don't you get all over him and his 820 SATs?
This is Hakeem from Lincoln University,
he actually spelled his name right? I'm sorry.
The NFL
Fred's
players...
going to kick us all out and say, just go home, pretend it's snowing.
I'll
snow.
Do a better
I want
show,
my own
on my
show
own.
Back.
The NFL players sponsor the Play 60 for Youth to be physically fit, thereby being role models for them. There are plenty of youth that read newspapers, watch TV, listen to the sports talk radio. I understand that players take on the identity of their coach. However, I don't think Coach Ryan would use such vulgar language to describe another coach. There is a line of professionalism, I believe, that was crossed by Cromartie. If we are sending the message to our youth in reference to good sportsmanship, this was not trash talk. If Ocho Cinco could be fined by the league for using a cell phone after a play, then why can't the league make a statement slash fine regarding his language, because it's a language unbecoming of a professional football player? Are we now going to allow our youth that play the game to say what he said and it's okay? I think the Jets should have a draft pick taken away from him, given to the Patriots.
No, but I wouldn't be stunned if he got a small fine.
I wouldn't either.
He might.
And by the way, Rex Ryan flipped off the crowd at a hockey game, so don't say
that's
he
true.
Wouldn't say or do anything.
Yeah.
He would do, I don't he think he would in a press conference,
no,
but
I think his point was, for all the vulgarities that Rex Ryan throws out there, I don't think he would have done this. And
I don't think he would have done this. But let's not pretend he's a saint either.
No, he's not.
He flipped off an entire audience.
But the proof of his language on Hard Knocks tells you he's not a saint.
Yeah. Right.
But well, I don't
but
think he. I don't think he would direct.
I'm fine with that.
I don't think he would direct a vulgarity toward another player or coach. I don't think he would say, you know, Belichick is. It starts with ass, Andy.
Rhymes with hole.
No, ends with hole.
Oh, ends with hole. Sorry, I'm starting to get worried about Rex Ryan. What is the deal with that eye? It gets worse every time I see.
He's got
it.
Like a pink eye thing going
really?
On.
Really?
But it looks like a broken blood vessel in his eye.
Yeah. From what?
Maybe he's been throwing up a lot.
I don't know.
He's so
doesn't look like it.
He's so nervous. He's poked, been throwing up,
you know,
a lot.
Well, I thought he might have got poked, but it seems to be getting worse.
Those transmittable diseases that are going around.
What does that mean?
Hey.
Well, you know, if you come in contact with a lot of people, those things
actually,
can
I think
pop
his
up.
Way of having contact with a lot of people is safer than what most people do. Rubbing someone's foot, I mean, aside from getting athlete's foot.
That's not all they're
doing.
It
starts with the feet. Paul W.
Been a lot of guys that like to do a lot of things with those
Paul
feet.
W. in Durham, North Carolina says, hey, guys, and Eric, I'm sick and tired of Cromartie and company complaining about Brady pointing and taunting them. The Patriots do the talking on the field, both figuratively and literally. Who cares if Tom Brady is taunting the Jets sideline? I'd rather him do it on the field than over the airwaves like the idiot Jets do. Brady and the rest of the Belichick bunch follow the creed, when you win, say little, and when you lose, say less. Trash talking on the field is part of the game. Get over it. You want them to stop, then do something about it on the field. Until then, I'll rub it in the Jets fans' faces all day, every day, and I'll love every time Brady does it too. So there you go.
I'm sure that's the creed the Patriots follow. I think it's when they win, they say a lot. When they don't, they don't.
Exactly.
You know, there you go.
They definitely talk after wins, which is why we're expecting to hear some talk.
That's why we're
Sunday.
Already talking about it.
Right. Seven.
We're all expecting to win.
7:45, 8 o'clock Sunday night. I'm looking for some good quotes for our paper.
Yeah, we're all expecting to win, and we feel that the Patriots will probably have a lot to say in response to Cromartie et al.
So... 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline, and my computer is frozen up a little bit.
So this is the part where we can talk amongst ourselves again?
And then you'll interrupt and just start talking and reading an email?
Well, I don't have anyone helping me here. So
blah, 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 blah.
I'm on my own.
What the hell was that?
I think he just had a stroke.
This stupid computer is not working.
It's not working.
What's wrong with it?
It just won't open up.
Is that my fault too, Fred?
If you want to be defensive, yes. I don't know what's going on with this thing.
Did Doctor participate in your show yesterday,
Doctor?
Jason?
Yeah, a little bit.
Verbally? I mean, was he talking? Or
a little bit. You know?
A little bit.
But we had a lot of callers.
From Florida.
I mean, it was a constant stream of callers.
They stepped up for you, Fred. They felt bad that you were all alone.
Even
even Andy and I called in.
Right. And even Craig
Paul flipped you the bird.
Right. Craig from Philly called in.
I was buried.
Paul from who?
Craig from where?
Philly.
The new
Craig Bunce?
The new home?
Yeah. Check out that bell yet?
Not all
it's to be.
Not all that in a bag of chips.
Pete Shepard just came in with black leather jacket and dark black sunglasses on. It's funny.
Mike in San Diego says, why is Brady finger pointing disrespectful?
Oh, I don't know.
Special
one today.
Special edition today?
I guess so. Mike in San Diego says, why is Brady finger-pointing disrespectful, but Edwards doing the doogie in Butler's face not? Isn't
Wait. Time out for a second. You didn't think that what Braylon Edwards did was disrespectful?
I don't know.
He got flagged for it.
Right.
And it was the talk of the town for a week. Of course it was disrespectful.
Isn't it funny that Jets fans have toned down the Pats cheat rhetoric after Tripgate? And do the Jets really want Inez Sands picking them to win? Sounds like a battered spouse defending the other. He / she didn't mean it and is really a good person.
The Radio Azteca or whatever woman picked them to win? I guess.
Really?
Why was she picking
them?
We
know who it is.
Is this like out there? I mean, where did she pick them? What venue?
Tell you what's out there.
Boom.
That's where we needed cameras to see the hand gestures made.
Do you think Woodhead got so good avoiding tackles because the Jets, he was like mini-me running around away from fat bastards so he wouldn't get eaten? Woodhead, get in my belly! It's funny, you know, Rex said, you know, it's because of the Jets he's in the league.
Yeah.
And it's also because of them he was almost out of it.
Interesting way to spin that, waving a guy.
So
that was a funny comment. That was as hateable or annoying if you're a Patriot fan as any of the other stuff they've said all week. He's in the league because of me.
Right.
No, he's not. First of all, he was there before you, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mangini is the one who, quote-unquote,
he's there because a Patriot.
Well, he said because of the Jets.
No, I know, but it's got nothing to do with you.
I know.
Stay out of it. It's a dumb answer.
Well, he didn't say me.
He said the Jets.
He said
but he's not. He would have been in another camp somewhere.
No, but
he was
two-time
Harlan Hill Award winner. He was going to get a shot.
It was more offensive if he was taking credit for it.
He's just saying
he's saying,
it's
the Jets.
Right, but
that's different to me.
It is different.
It's stupid. He would have been in the league no matter what.
It is stupid, but it is also, like Paul said, it's.
Callum from Glasgow, just listened to yesterday's show. First of all, oh my God, Fred, yes, loved your take on Cromartie. The guy is an a-hole, and I hope you run into him on Sunday and tell him that.
He'll say, hey, Antonio.
Hey, Antonio. More of that kind of Fred, please. Anyway, there was an email from someone yesterday saying that you don't read out emails sent before the show. Not true. You read out one of mine that I had sent in before the show.
Not true.
So there you
go.
It
was all ports. Any port in a storm yesterday for Fred.
Also, I think you came like a second.
Literally in a storm.
Like a second from reading out an email from me on Tuesday. You said something like, here's an email from Callum, but you were tragically cut short by an argument between two deserters. I don't know.
Did you guys have an argument?
You were a deserter too, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't. But I wasn't on the show
yesterday. Participate. No, Tuesday, he said.
Oh.
No, we had a ton of participation yesterday. Toussaint writes in.
You want to ask Eric how to really say it?
Well, it's Toussaint.
Close enough. Toussaint.
See, I knew he'd have a good one. No, it's Ace.
Speaking of that, how do you say Zagat?
Because I've heard it
like
Zagat.
Zagat
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how the company refers to themselves.
But it's a family name.
Well, it's Bob Saget, right?
Well, no, but it is a last name, so why doesn't somebody just ask them how they say company. It? Although some people like you, it's Lavois. No, he said Lavour, not Lavois.
He does not pronounce his name.
Right, he doesn't. Anyway, Toussaint says, Fred, loved the show yesterday. I'm really excited for this game, but I have a feeling it will be over by halftime. After this blowout, the Jets should have to call us their daddy. I think the fans at Gillette should do their Who's Your Daddy chant the Yankees did to Pedro. That would be a great chant for the fourth quarter when the game is out of reach. Oh, there's going to be a lot of good chants.
There does seem to be a lot of fans who are trying to start something.
Well,
like
I
on
mean,
the blog,
think
too.
The,
they, like
the crowd fans, will have an impact in this game.
The fans are frustrated because, you know, the Jets get to do all the talking and no one else does. And so now this will be the fans' chance to get back at the Jets by doing their talking at the game.
Got to bring it on Sunday.
Got to bring
it. All 68,000 of them.
Got to bring it. Got to bring it. You got to be merciless. Merciless.
Now, do you have faith that they'll get it done?
The fans?
Because let's be honest, they're not used to. They're not ready for Fireman Ed. They're not ready to have chance. They don't do this a lot. So are they prepared? Are they going to get the job done?
Are they going to be organized?
Right. The thing is, will Fireman Ed be here? We could show Fireman Ed on the board, and that'd probably peeve a lot of people off.
No, but can they do it in synchronization? Can they get a large enough sum of people
like a feet,
chanting
feet, feet thing
to get?
You know
so
what would?
You know
what would? You know what would get the crowd going? Well, if you had
entertainment,
if it were like if the game were out of hand like it was the last time. Third quarter, early fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know the game is over.
Yeah.
It's way too far up.
Okay.
You take some clips of like their press conferences,
yeah.
stuff that Rex Ryan has said.
Like during
play
the TV timeout.
During a
stuff?
TV timeout, yeah. play that on the video board. Like, you know, we stack up equally with this team.
That'd
you know,
be
like stuff like that and get
yeah.
the crowd going, you know, when yeah. they're 30 points down
that,
or whatever.
Now that you meant
How
that.
About just the rings? Simple. Just
yeah.
a shot of the three rings on the board.
I didn't come here to kiss Bill
right.
Belichick's
or the banner,
rings.
Or the
I guarantee the crowd would go nuts if you put the three rings on the board. Mm-hmm. Just the three rings.
And have like a perforated cutout of a fourth?
Don't do it early because they'll get mad at you down in football ops if you do it in the first quarter.
Right.
No, they'd never get mad at me.
Well, like, what? Paul gave us the nod, so we figured we could do it.
If I were you, I wouldn't do it until Brady's kneeling on the hit at the end of the game.
Karen Garrigan is tweeting out that ESPN analyst Trent Dilfer believes Tom Brady will unleash hell on the Jets.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer had a conference call about an hour ago, I think.
I'm with Trent Dilfer.
Yeah,
ESPN.
Paul, I try to look for you nodding up in the press level. I can't see you.
You can't check out my Chrome Dome from that far away?
No. Try to find it, because I'm always interested when you talk about it. I'm always interested. When I'm down on the field, I actually think about, like, whoa, would Paul be nodding at
well,
this point?
Well, can you get the PFW blog on your phone?
Probably try to
because you could get Kershworth.
The thing,
the Kershworth.
You usually not. You
Fred
usually, like,
announces
that,
when
right,
the nod happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The thing that kind of stinks about, I don't know if you guys have this problem with your cell phones and stuff, but with so much traffic and so many signals bouncing around the stadium on a game day because there's so many people trying to use their phones, and also all the different satellite stuff going on with TV, my phone and my BlackBerry, like for emails and stuff,
it's tough.
It's really hard. And then all of a sudden, you'll be walking out to your car, and there'll be like 25 new emails that'll pop into your inbox.
Trust me. And
so it's tough to get
half
service.
Half of them are somebody on the other end saying, "Why don't you pick up your effing phone?"
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not gonna say who it is.
So it's tough to get curse words when you're down there. Could you see me? Could you see me like? Obviously, you could see me messing up, but then Doc's like screaming at me, like, "Why weren't you listening to me?" And I'd be like, "I was reading curse words. I'm sorry, I was busy."
That's good. Larry the Drunk says, "Pigs have flown, hell is frozen over. Listening to EEI, Merrill Hodge seems to be on our side this week. Have we turned every anti-Patriots analyst to us this year?" I think we have. I think people have bought into the story.
And it's hard to get behind a guy who comes out publicly and calls another player an a-hole.
Yeah. And it's kind of who's an idiot.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to align yourself with that.
I mean, if Brady, who's pretty well respected, came out and called somebody an a-hole, people would say, "Well, does he have good reason? Why is he doing it?" Antonio Cromartie does not have a lot of respect from anyone. Yeah. Happens when you have, what is it, 9 kids with 8 women?
That
or
we
eight
know
with,
of.
8 with 9, Paul.
8 with 9. 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Tiff from Wisconsin. Welcome back, Andy, Eric, and Paul. I don't think you guys discussed what Rex said about Danny Woodhead. We just did. I concluded from his response to the Woodhead question that he called him a system guy. He said Woodhead benefited from other players. I believe that's a true statement, but he appeared to be minimizing Woodhead as a skilled running back. By the way, I happen to love system guys. I grew up watching Aikman, Montana Young, and Brett Favre, so I don't consider it an insult. I know those who say it means it as an insult, but what do you guys think?
I don't think Brett Favre's ever been called a system guy.
No, in fact, he doesn't.
I don't think any of those guys you just rattled off.
I'm pretty sure his
guys.
Coaches would like him had become a system.
Well,
guy
actually,
at
no.
Some point.
Actually, in her defense, I think Aikman. A lot of times, people criticized him because they didn't think he was a prototypical.
Yes.
Like he couldn't run a certain type
and
of
I
offense.
Think Bill Belichick,
he was in the right system.
I think Bill Belichick would have talked about Aikman the way he talks right now about Brady. I'd take him in pretty much any system you want to put him in. But you are correct.
That's
he was considered to be not as good mm-hmm. as his numbers and
unless
stuff
it's because, the option.
Because of his supporting cast. Good, Fred.
Now,
why did he say that?
What?
Why'd you say that?
Because you have to run.
Isn't there a connection there?
He played at Oklahoma.
He
started
Oklahoma.
At Oklahoma.
He signed with Oklahoma. But
and then went
and then
to
transferred
UCLA.
To UCLA.
Yeah, I don't think that was why you said that, though.
I thought you were talking about Tom Brady. I wasn't
listening. I had a feeling.
Because I knew the Oklahoma thing, and I was like, wow, Fred randomly knows a lot about Troy Aikman. But you weren't even listening.
He can't run either. So, Sergeant Johnson from the Marine Corps Base, Kanoa Bay, Hawaii. Thank you for your service. Writes
you
in, gentlemen.
Service.
Love you, the show you do. Hope the weather isn't getting you too down back in Foxborough. Does anybody ever bring up the time Braylon Edwards did the Dougie after scoring the touchdown against Darius Butler in the Patch Jets' first game? We just did. How come the mainstream media calls it a feud when only one side is making all of the noise? This is a familiar story, as I remember Sean Merriman in 2006 telling the crowd of fans that the Chargers were going to punch Brady in the mouth. And we all remember how that turned out. Hope the Pats publicly humiliate the Jets this Sunday. Wouldn't mind seeing a Woodhead version of the Dougie. Stay frosty, gentlemen. As long as it's in a glass, I will.
I just don't think
what
it's
is the Dougie?
I don't think it's that dance that the guys do now. A lot of athletes do it.
It's an internet sensation. It's from Dougie Fresh.
John Wall from the Washington, whatever they're called nowadays,
Wizards.
Is considered to have one of the best versions of it.
And who was the white QB who did it and got?
Oh God,
my God,
Drew Stanton.
Yeah, Drew Stanton.
Oh, Drew Stanton. Yeah,
terrible.
We play the song now, like in stretching and stuff like that before the game.
I don't think it's a one-way feud. By the way, I think the Patriots have very much involved themselves in their hate. Come on, I mean, even Tom Brady said, "I hate the Jets."
Right. No, it's a feud.
It may not be a lot of public comments coming from New England before the game because. They don't do that. They don't do that for anybody. But on the field,
oh yeah,
watch.
Eric in Fort Collins says, I prefer a classic taunt such as na, 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 hey, hey, goodbye. This would be a good chant for Fireman Ed. I would especially like it if it were strong while Fireman Ed were on the big board so everyone could watch the reaction of the man who has become the face of the Jets. Plus, I'm sure it would only make the crowd louder if he were on the big board while they chanted it. That would be good.
See, I think you could get away with something like that.
You know, Fireman Ed's on disability, right? He's been on since 06.
So how does he stand on the guy's shoulders and
yeah, I was going to say he looks pretty healthy.
Well, they stopped doing that. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't get on the shoulders.
He might be mentally.
They stopped doing that years ago.
He's done it. No.
Years ago? No, that's inaccurate because I've seen him do it in person. I've been traveling to the games for the last 4 years.
He's been doing that in the.
He might not have done it this year, but he has done it in years, recent years.
Of course he had, but they've stopped doing it. He's been on disability since 06. And
I saw him
since
06.
He was doing it on disability, Eric. Yep. I'm with you.
Maybe Fireman Ed could do the Dougie.
So, he's typical Jets fan. You know, living off the public dole. Eleanor writes in, Teddy Bruschi was offering some interesting takes on the Jets-Patriots rivalry in his ESPN podcast with Mike Reese. He talked about Belichick knowing the Ryans well from Rob Ryan's stay in New England. What do you think Bill really thinks of Rex and his brother, and what do you all remember from Rob Ryan's stay in New England? And P.S., the solo Fred show was like, This Is Your Life, Fred Kirsch with friends from the ages floating through the snowy clouds of heaven via phone calls and jokes about Eric's sexuality. I didn't make one, I swear to God. Fred.
I don't believe him, I swear to God.
Listen to the show. Fred, you were the wind beneath all of our wings that fateful afternoon. It's too bad it had to be followed by Nitpick Wednesday. Wow.
Who was that?
Eleanor. I didn't make fun of you, Eric. I didn't. I don't think. I don't think I did.
Now it's I don't think I did.
I'm pretty sure I didn't.
Beep, beep, beep. Backtracking Kirsch.
No, because you called in, right? We talked.
I called, yes, we talked.
Sure.
And when he hung up, you probably made fun of him.
Well, no, somebody, I think the only thing I said, somebody said, well, I can picture Eric in a
women's
blue
lingerie
hoodie. And I said, he's probably in a blue bathrobe. Is what I said.
No, but that's not.
That's not
making.
Yeah. Hugh Hefner is like the God-O man, right. And he wears a bathrobe.
Wes
all the
Welker
time.
And Vince Wilfork have bathrobes.
It's true.
You strut around the locker room.
Rich in Minneapolis. So here's how I feel, short and simple. We will win the Super Bowl, and here's why. If there has ever been a team that subscribed to the Belichick way, it's this one. If there has ever been a team of scrappy young talent that just flat out trusted their coach and both listened and subscribed to his philosophy, it's this team. I can't think of a single bad apple that could even remotely become a cancer or has a me-first attitude. This is Bill's team. These guys do it his way. And what I've learned over the last decade is Bill's way works. On a side note, I have nothing against New Orleans and the trouble that that city went through with Katrina. But, boy, is it fun to say that the defending champs were eliminated in the first round by the legitimate worst team in the NFL playoff history. That embodies so much of what this crazy NFL season has been. True. Super Bowl hangover. It's tough to repeat. Very tough to repeat.
I think I dropped the ball, guys.
What?
I went to all the press conferences today.
Yeah.
And Gresham Zoer tweeting, as you just heard on the show, Wes Welker with 6 foot references during his press conference today. Hilarious.
Oh.
I've got the transcript.
They must have gone right over my head because.
Wow. And that's quite a feat in itself to go over your head.
Oh, yeah. How do you approach the young guys about what to expect in the postseason? Question to Welker. You just talk to him. It's a playoff atmosphere, and you can't just stick your toe in the water.
Nice.
I don't buy it.
I'm not.
I think he just said
oh,
it.
Oh, I'll bet you.
I'm reading through. Oh, here we go.
Keep
here we go.
Going.
First
Keep
question.
Going.
First,
that one. I'm saying, man.
Very first question. How valuable is it to have a guy like Tom Brady standing in the huddle? Having Tom there, it goes without saying, the guy who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everyone's on the same page and putting their best foot forward.
Okay. Let me hear the next
two.
That's two.
Of the six.
That's two
Let
so far.
Let me hear the next one.
I missed that one, by the way, because we were late. Well, we weren't late.
While I peruse, you read another. All right, here's another one. I know you're excited to play football every game, no matter what the situation. Blah, blah, blah. Is there a little more excitement for you because
we
you're getting back
the
in the playoffs?
Just the answers.
It's definitely a little bit different, especially last year. I had my foot up in the air trying to get the swelling down and things like that. It was his knee.
Yeah.
Right? But I know what he means.
I'm not buying. I mean, maybe he did it on purpose, but, I don't know.
Okay. I think
he said the best foot forward.
I do too.
He used best foot forward again in another answer.
Sticking your toe in the water? I mean, that's I don't know. Hey, I don't know.
A lot of emails.
That's why those guys have their big-time radio shows, and we don't, Andy. Those things go right past us.
Let's see.
What makes Revis as good as he is? I think he's very patient. He has good feet.
Oh, he did. I actually noticed that, but I actually took it as the reason Revis is good. He must have said 4 or 5 times about his footwork. And he has good feet, and he's hard to get off the line, all that.
Yeah.
But I took it as real football. He has good feet. He's quick.
I think if
I took every single one of them
I
as
think
being
Welker
legitimate
would have
answers.
Plausible deniability.
He
here
certainly does.
Someone,
that was an Andy Hart-like response, a press conference.
Yeah.
plenty See, of... no, because I would have smirked every time I set foot.
And
or
he didn't?
Toe. No. Not when I, no, yeah. I never saw one smirk. And yeah. he has those coy
He does
smirks.
Have those coy
I think
smirks.
He has plausible those. Deniability here.
I think it's just he happened to say foot
yeah,
that many
no.
times.
No.
508-543-7482 yeah. is the Ace Ticket Hotline. No. Bad Kevin's on the line. Hey, Bad Kevin.
Oh, geez.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing much.
It was a good show until you got here.
First thing, what did you say?
Said it was a good show until you got here.
I understand. And I wanted to start out by saying for a change, I agreed with Andy the other day when he said that all of this hoopla and talk is all a cover for how bad this team really is. So, Andy, I wanted to give you your props there.
I said, I think there's a chance Rex Ryan
needs to pump his own
team
right
now. Yeah. It's kind of a part of the whole, it's me versus Belichick.
Yeah, and I think he's, and like everybody said all week long, he's doing this because his team is not as talented as the one he's going to play on Sunday.
Right. Despite the fact that he said, if you put the players on the field, it's equal. It's dead even. Assistant coaches, dead even. I disagree.
Yeah, we all know that's BS.
Right. I'm with you, Kevin. You're not so bad today.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
It's unbelievable.
And I don't know, maybe you guys have covered this already, but I'm thinking to myself, as all this is playing out this week, what would Belichick do if this happened on our team?
If one of
his players were to speak out, I don't think that it would ever happen, but what would he do?
I thought about that, and I think his response would have been, well, you know, I haven't heard it. You know, and I can't really comment it because I didn't hear it.
Any conversations between me and a player or between me and a player, and something would happen. He would find the guy. He would suspend him.
I think something would happen.
Well, certainly wouldn't suspend him.
He would get
upset.
I think there's a chance if Brady said it, Belichick might say, I have a lot of respect for Tom and his thoughts. Depending on the situation and the player.
Yeah, Tom has earned the right to say what he wants.
He would definitely address it, and it would be a disciplined kind of addressing. But it wouldn't be something – he wouldn't suspend the guy or anything
Well,
like
and
that.
I don't think we
And I agree with you,
it.
It would never happen. Oh, no, we would applaud it. If it was coming from our side, we'd be all excited about it.
Right, but we wouldn't hear about a fine or any sort of discipline that would happen to that player either.
No, I agree. I don't think he would get fined or disciplined. I just think he would tell him, knock it off. We don't do that.
There you go. How much of this Patriots way is Belichick, and how much of it is Robert Kraft? Because I think since he's taken over, that, as we've all said, this is the model franchise in all of sports. Is it him or is it Belichick?
I think you need both. You know, overall, you need a good owner, and then you need a good coach. And I think it's a combination of both.
But I think it's also the fact that they've come to an agreement of how it's going to be.
Right.
The Patriot way is the melding of their beliefs and the full support they have of each other so that they're always on the same page. It's not a divided front. Like we've talked about with, you know, the Ross wanted the team to go see Lombardi. Sperano clearly wasn't on board, but they did it anyway. They went early. There was clearly a divide there.
Well,
when there's a divide, that's not healthy for the team.
We talk about the coach-quarterback relationship. You know, a good owner makes it easy on a good coach, and a good coacher makes it easy on a good owner. Mm-hmm. You know, that combination is just as important as the coach
and
quarterback.
We know they've had to have had some disagreements over the years, but they don't become public. They don't become big deals. They don't spread. It doesn't turn into a little fissure. Doesn't turn into a big crack. It's just they get past.
Which happened in Miami.
Yes.
Right.
That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's another team you can cross off the list of competition.
What is today? Because I'm agreeing with you a lot today.
Clearly you had your Wheaties this morning.
Something. Well, guys, thanks a bunch. I love listening to you guys. You guys are great. It's a lot of fun. Keep it up and F the Jets.
Right. Got that right.
Thanks,
breaking
Kevin.
News. The Strippers, maybe we already talked about this. Browns have announced Pat Shermer as head coach.
Breaking news, or maybe we've already. Do you ever see that on CNN? Breaking news here out of
Atlanta.
Or
maybe we reported
maybe
this
we already.
Already
talked about this. Yes. Browns hired a Shermer. I said it was Fritz. Paul said it was Ray.
And it was Pat.
I was closest.
Web radio, Patriots.com. Jay says, great show as usual. The more I hear the Jets talk, the more desperate they sound. It's like they're trying to convince themselves that they won't get their ass kicked this time. A simple question, but an interesting one, I think. If the Jets win the toss, do they kick off or receive? If they kick off and the Patriots march right down the field and score, that could really impact their psyche. On the other hand, if they choose the ball and go three and out, or Sanchez looks shaky, that could also impact them. I think the Pats would defer if they win the toss. What do you think? Well, I'm pretty sure the Patriots would defer.
Yes.
I think the Jets would, too.
Yeah, I think so.
It's become what everybody's doing.
Yeah. I think both teams would defer.
A couple years after Bill said everybody would do it, now they're really everybody's doing it.
Aaron from Sterling, has anyone thought to use Twitter to get Chance started and use the video board to get people to follow the right Twitter feed? Bill Simmons tried this at a Celtics game, but I wonder if you promoted the Twitter feed on the board, then use it to get Chance going, it would work.
How do you do that?
So what you do is you tell people on the board, follow us on Twitter, and we'll tell you when to start a chant and what the chant should be.
Still seems like the timing.
The problem is at a game, if you can't get access on your cell phone, right, that's not going to work too well.
And I don't think at a game you want everybody looking down at their cell phones. You want them actually watching the game and participating in the game.
But we got to get something going, and I think something will. I have faith in the fans for this one.
The last thing
your eyebrows raised.
Like,
oh, this isn't September with the 80-degree weather. This you got to be a hardcore fan to come out for this.
And
game.
That's what I'm saying. At 20 degrees in the middle of the teeth of the winter, the last thing I would want to do is take my gloves off, get my BlackBerry out, and see what they're doing on Twitter.
But I do think that these are going to be true fans that are in the stands.
Why?
Because it's cold
out.
It's
a playoff game, though. It's not like it's against Miami and it's cold in the last meaningless regular season game. Right? This is a huge game.
Right.
Rivalry, everything. This game has everything.
Paul would stay home.
But he wouldn't come at all. He'd never
have access
to the ticket.
Jim in Detroit.
I wouldn't be staying home.
Ticket holders.
I mean, if I was still in my season ticket holder days, I would not be staying home for a playoff game.
Jim in Detroit. Hey, guys, and Eric, last time the Patriots played the Jets at Gillette, you guys, especially Andy, made a big deal out of Mark Sanchez being able to play effectively in cold weather. Do you still feel that way, or do you feel as if Sanchez is now above the conditions?
Since that day, he had a couple of decent games in cold weather. Not great, but he played reasonably well in Pittsburgh, and he played very well, I thought, in Chicago. But I think the criticism still stands. I don't think it's bad enough under perfect conditions that you have an enormous gap between the two quarterbacks, but when you add in the fact that Brady is virtually unbeatable in bad weather, and another guy hasn't really had many experiences in bad weather, that's the difference in the game to me, is the quarterback gap is just so enormous.
Paul, you had a question early in the show about give me a trend that the Patriots have had when lost that's under 75%.
Do we have one?
You'll probably be the person who says whether this is accurate or not, but Christopher from Hamilton, Ontario.
Know.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have a winning percentage of 65% against Miami in the regular season from 2001 to 2010. 20 games played, 13 wins by the Patriots.
Okay.
So there you go. There's one. Although 65%.
I was
going to
say they're
low
65%.
You know. But yeah, okay. And Miami's giving them trouble, you know.
Miami's always giving New England trouble, though, too. So that's not something like – it's not like the Patriots owned the Dolphins for all these years, and then, you know, Bill and Tom came along, and they suddenly dropped.
Lyndon from Colton, California, says, I agree with the caller regarding Cromartie's trash talking. I feel like he is trying to encourage Brady to take some shots at him, hoping he'll throw some picks. And Paul, not sure if this is what you're looking for, but in 2002, weeks 4 through 14, the Pats won 5-5.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking.
That's –
But the Miami thing is close, I guess. Basically, what I'm talking about is I think we make a big deal out of, look what happens when people talk trash to the Patriots. They always win. Well, I would say that more often than not, they do win when that happens. And more often than not, when teams don't talk, the Patriots win. More often than not, when the Patriots play in a dome, the Patriots win. You know,
how about AFC East road games against the Jets and Dolphins?
Patriots win. I mean,
but what's the record?
I don't know, but their records are very good.
They've lost in Miami. They've lost in New York a couple times.
But their records are very good, I think.
Well, yeah,
regardless
that's how it
of situation,
when you go 14-2 every year, it's always going
to
be good.
Exactly. That's the only point I'm trying to make. But the Miami one is, I think that's interesting. 13-7. What he said? 13-7. Something like that.
13 out of 20.
Still pretty dominant to me, but. I said under 75%,
well,
and that's under 75.
14-2 without being dominant in everything.
That's under 75, so that qualifies.
I mean, in four seasons, they've been 14 wins or better. So,
sways things a little bit.
I guess in other words, it doesn't have anything to do with talking trash.
What?
The fact that the Patriots win. Like, the Patriots are...
Who said anything about talking trash?
People think that they can't lose this week because the Jets have done this. I don't think there was a chance the Patriots could have lost this week. So what happened with Cromartie to me is irrelevant.
Oh, that's where I jump ship. I think there is relevancy to Tom
most
Brady.
People.
I think when Tom Brady is challenged,
you could not
he
find.
Comes out
no,
there was a game Miami actually. Joey Porter talked trash and they beat the Patriots.
Right. How about week two?
Yeah.
Jets. The Jets said after their loss against Baltimore, right. Well, I guess we'll have to go 15-1 this year then.
Right. Well, that's not personally challenging Tom Brady.
Oh, but
this
they were talking trash the whole week.
This whole week's been built around him telling his team that they were sick and tired of Tom Brady pointing at him and they don't like how he celebrates thing, and then a player just outright calling him an a-hole.
But you could not
find...
And he
doesn't study hard.
You could not
find...
Right,
he doesn't study hard. It started a week ago. I mean, I think when Tom Brady has extra motivation, he's different.
It's going to be one of those that we're never going to find out because we know what's going to happen, but you couldn't find anybody who thought the Patriots were going to be even competed against this week before Antonio Cromartie opened his mouth. Before
right.
Rex Ryan opened his mouth. Everybody wanted to play the Jets. We all thought that was the
right.
easiest opponent.
Right.
I did.
No, there won't be any definitive evidence that the talking helped them. But
sometimes
you know,
Brady doesn't always look the same. Like he did in Pittsburgh, and everybody says, he looked different
Paul's
in Pittsburgh when he was spiking the balls
Paul's
to the
point
crowd.
Is the Patriots were expected to roll before all this started this
and
year.
They're going to.
And they were
going
to win either way, but that doesn't mean it didn't have an effect. And you can see
but
Tom
you
Brady.
But you're not
going
to be able
to prove
that's my point.
I think you're going to see evidence from Tom Brady that he is extra juiced up for this game.
Okay.
I think you're going to see something.
My point would be that you and I could have this argument after the game, and we could legitimately say, you could legitimately say, oh, yeah, Tom Brady was – and I'll say, I've seen Tom Brady do that a million times. And
well,
I think,
that's what you do.
I think Fred's right. You can't tell the difference.
He's going to be
like
he was pumped up before.
It's like the whole thing in Pittsburgh. I've seen that act.
Yeah, but not every week.
No, but I've seen it.
Right, but not every week. That's my point.
But it wasn't because of anything Pittsburgh said.
He hates Pittsburgh. It was related to Pittsburgh and the way the team was playing.
He hates everybody.
See, I don't think he does. I think there are degrees of Tom Brady. I think you see different Tom Bradys at different times. I think
he's
you see certain guy against the Colts and the Steelers that you don't see every week against the Browns and the Bengals.
Well, there are some games that are bigger than others.
I
agree with that.
And they made extra motivation this week by calling him an a-hole and saying he doesn't prepare, not liking how he handles himself on the football field. And
fine. Instead of winning by 30, they might win by 40.
I've always said when it snows, I think Tom Brady takes it as a personal challenge to prove Mother Nature wrong. I think this is the same way. He has a little extra motivation to prove somebody wrong, because that's what he does. Because, you know, he's overcome obstacles all his life to get to where he is, except for the QB coach he's had since the sixth grade.
Well, you heard
it was junior high school.
That's sixth grade, right?
I guess Terrell Suggs is getting in on the act.
Oh, cool.
In an interview, this is from Mike Reese, on an interview on SiriusXM's Mad Dog Radio today, Ravens outside linebacker Terrell Suggs once again took aim at Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. The host, Steve Phillips, said, how do you look at Ben Roethlisberger? We hear a lot about Peyton Manning, a lot about Brady, and the numbers those guys put up. Roethlisberger's been one of those kind of blue-collar, tough quarterbacks, and you guys have had some great matchups with them. From your perspective, how do you compare Roethlisberger to some of the other QBs in the NFL? And Suggs says, well, if you ask me, he's definitely up there with them, blah, blah, blah. Let me see where he gets to the point. if I'm correct, Manning's 1-1, both Mannings, that is, and Philip Rivers doesn't have any, and Tom Brady has 3, I think a questionable 3. This guy won the Super Bowl, I believe, in his second year in the league, and I'm not sure if that's ever been done. If it has, it's been very rare. What does that mean? I don't know.
Didn't Roethlisberger?
Yeah, Roethlisberger won his first year, didn't he?
No.
No, we beat him.
Second year, though.
Yeah, we beat him his first year. In the AFC,
second, yeah, I think it
the
was
AFC championship
year.
Game. The Patriots.
Oh, I know
beat
we
him.
Beat him.
Oh, wait,
I think
this
he
goes
won
on.
It
hold on,
year. I don't care about his rookie year.
He goes, Terrell, how come you and Tom Brady like each other so much? He goes, I love Tom. I don't know. I guess it all brewed from when I nicked his knee. I guess a little bit. I was just wow. You almost hit a guy and you get flagged. Kind of blew me away. I never knew one man could have so much power. I guess I stand corrected. And then he goes on to say later on about. The emotional response he gets from opposition. He goes, I don't know. Maybe because he is Tom Brady, he dates supermodels. That can have a lot to do with it. Like, dang, this guy's got the world. He's winning Super Bowls and dating supermodels. It don't get much better than that. And he gets, you know, rules made for him. He gets to tell the referee when to throw the flag. That's a hen in a handbasket right there.
What does that mean?
That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, though.
Egg in a basket, maybe?
Or? Can't get the sound for some reason. They don't put it up on the website.
What's a hand in a
handbasket? That didn't sound too bad, though, what he was saying.
Oh. The questionable Super Bowls, though, is a shot.
Yeah, but that's no different than the quotes about, what's the movie that he brought up? The dance movie, the cheerleading movie.
Oh, Bring It On.
Oh, Bring It On?
Yeah, Bring It On. And he went to the whole thing about they stole the act from the other act.
Right, right. Yeah, his insults are convoluted.
Yeah, he's tough to follow. I mean, that's a hen in a hen basket right there.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Matt in Brooklyn, can you look that up for us?
Andre says, first time emailer and big fan of the show. Considering that in terms of defense, the two teams
big
statistically
man, Andre,
are remarkably different, it's hard to argue that the Patriots are not playing much better D than the Jets. Yeah, the Pats have the bend but don't break philosophy with their zone coverage, but the Jets' man coverage scheme was completely torched in Week 13. Two quick questions. First, do you think the Jets make any major differences to their defensive philosophy? And second, what is your, in your opinion, is the worst matchup for the Patriots in this game? Revis against anyone?
Worst matchup.
Worst matchup. I don't know.
Dustin Keller against.
It's a good one by
pretty much anybody.
The nose. That's a good one. Dustin Keller in the middle of the field. If I had confidence that Sanchez was going to throw it to him, that'd be worrisome.
Okay.
Really speaks to our thoughts on how the Patriots are going to win this game. We can't think of a bad matchup.
Well, that goes. We've come a long way from saying, you know, the Jets are hands down the most talented team in
how
the
about
NFL.
The receiver on Kyle Arrington, no, I think, is a
that,
one-on-one matchup for the Jets, whether it's
Holmes or
Edwards or anyway. I don't think that's a great matchup for the Patriots.
I think we're going to see a lot of McCourty on.
I don't think
Edwards.
Anything that the Jets want to do in terms of getting receivers open, I don't think is a good matchup for the Patriots. But the X factor is the quarterback will not always get the ball there.
Or will
that's why
the
Jets will lose
there.
The game.
Matt from Albany, I'm a big Pats fan, and I understand the confidence we have in beating the Jets this Sunday. But after the disappointing 07 Super Bowl, I've been very cautious to give the Pats a win for any game they are greatly favored. For example, the Green Bay game, where they won by a smaller margin than expected. Don't you think we should all have that type of feeling going into this game with the Jets and learn from the 07 Super Bowl?
Andy, you want to go on your rant?
What was my rant?
It doesn't matter what you think.
Well, it doesn't.
Thanks.
No, I'm all for thinking your team's going to blow them out. Why not?
Oh, you know what? There was a Fritz the Cat. Fritz the Cat was the name of an X-rated movie in the 1970s. Andy needs to brush up on his porn knowledge. I remember that. There was a Fritz the Cat animated porn movie.
Oh, was it animated?
Pussy? Yeah.
My God.
Wow.
That's where I see.
Animated porn?
Yeah.
What is that?
And it was animals.
Animated animal porn.
Right.
Bestiality.
They were cats, I guess.
Pussies.
You guess. The title is Fritz the Cat.
Animated porn?
And he said he remembered it. Now he thinks, just guesses. Yeah.
I remember being a kid and seeing those commercials and being a little bit stimulated.
There were commercials?
What commercials?
Commercials?
I've never seen a porn commercial once.
Never.
Well, it was...
Except in the hotel when you flip through
was,
the movie channel.
It might have been rated... I don't know if it was rated X, but there might have been an R version. I remember seeing advertisements for it distinctly. Matt from Brooklyn helped me out here.
Fritz the Cat.
I distinctly remember that. And
is that a he or a she?
I believe it was a man, male cat.
It's a man.
It's a man, baby.
You know? If people hate Brady because of his looks, then Ben Roethlisberger should be the most popular QB ever.
That's good,
well
done.
Especially since that hit to the nose.
Here are the reasons I think people hate Brady above and beyond the basic jealousy. One, the Tuck rule. This game upset people and they think Brady didn't deserve the win. The Brady rule falls into this category as well. People think he gets special treatment, too. Peyton Manning. People like him and his personality, and they want him to be successful. Brady has stood in his way and has had more success than Manning, and I think people dislike him for it. People would like Brady better if he were a hands-down second-best QB in the league and the charismatic Manning was soundly in first. Spygate, again, reinforces the argument that Brady doesn't deserve all the fame and success. And personality. Brady doesn't play along the way the fans want him to. He skips Pro Bowls, avoids questions, and doesn't talk to TMZ. Basically, all the reasons he's not Manning and why I like the guy. Anyway, I have either good news or bad news. I'm not sure. I saw my wife, a lifelong Redskins fan, change her Facebook picture to a Patriots emblem. Should I be happy that she now cheers and supports our team openly or terrified that the Snyder stink will follow her over? Either way, chalk her up as another supporter in the new America's team. Good. We've got a convert. We'll take the we'll let him on.
Sure.
Plenty of room. Plenty of room
let
on the bandwagon.
In. Sure. Sure.
You know.
Bring them all over. We'll take care of you.
Let's see. We got to do picks at some
point.
Oh,
God.
Right? Yeah. You guys look like you run out of steam. You're all like, I'm just carrying the show here.
I
you guys
think
are
that when
not doing anything.
I'm just carrying
show
here.
I could just do it myself.
I agree with your assessment, but I think that part of the problem with that is generally we have at least some sort of differing viewpoint that we can sort of go back and forth on. And not only we don't really have any differing viewpoints, but we don't think it's going to be close. So it's not even like one of us says, well, I think the Patriots are going to win, but not as easy as you're describing it.
Well, yeah,
we have nothing to really talk about. I mean, we all think the Patriots are going to dominate.
Last five playoff openers, difference of 11 points or more, 19, 11, 21, 25, 17. The 19 was obviously the loss to the Ravens. The others are all victories. I mean, all the playoff openers are usually not very close for the Patriots.
Okay.
18.5-point average margin of victory the last four playoff openers.
Probably right about where it'll be. 17 points-ish.
34-17. Conservatively.
Let's
see. I think it could be worse than that.
I do, too.
Michelle says...
It's going to snow Saturday night, by the way, I heard. Not significant, but there could be a dusting. You know, just enough for that Peyton Manning effect when Sanchez comes out and goes, oh, crap. A little gust of wind. He'll poop himself.
Except the game's on Sunday.
Saturday night, I know. He really is the dumbest human being on the planet.
Well, he's up there.
One
he's
of the dumbest human beings.
Well,
wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You think that the field's going to have snow on it because it's
no, there'll
on
be
Sunday.
Snow just around.
Snow
He'll
around
see
when he opens
it.
Up his hotel room and you know you open the shades when you're in a different city and you go, huh, it snowed last night. There's snow out here and you didn't expect it.
I think that's retarded.
I think you're retarded. Literally. I think you should be tested. I think you are mildly retarded.
I don't think it's mild.
The most interesting NFL quarterback's going to open the curtains and see a half inch of
then
snow.
Then you haven't
and pee
observed
himself.
The league for a long time. Because there are
you're right. Because
I'm
25.
Exactly. Well, I'm 32. Ooh, 7 years more. Ooh, you're so young, and I still have my hair.
That's so
wow.
do I.
And then he gets personal. Wow,
that's what he does. Yeah,
if you don't think guys are affected
just
by
just because I don't have as big a forehead, Fred, doesn't make
you guys
mean I don't have hair.
It's getting bigger by the minute. I just saw a hair fall out.
I know.
And the more you rub it, the more
it's
they fall out.
It's not any funnier when it's not directed
it.
At me.
I know.
If you don't think guys are affected by their surroundings, then you haven't watched the league. You haven't. Guys are affected.
But I think if it's like a dusting on your car windshield, it's not going to affect how Sanchez plays on Sunday.
Well, you're wrong then, because it's a mental thing.
Well, Andy doesn't think Sanchez can play at all in any way.
I don't.
So,
well, no. It's really irrelevant. I think if you put it back at USC and it's sunny and nice and they only play in October, he'll be perfect.
Andy doesn't think he can play under any conditions as an
NFL
player.
I don't think he can play.
He's got to be in the Rose Bowl.
The difference is I don't think he can play either in the cold, Andy. It's just I don't think that.
I think the cold weather bothers him.
I think it does, too. I'm with Andy on that, too. But I just think that a dusting of snow isn't going to like put him over the top and be like, oh, I'm not. I'm packing it in already.
You haven't observed long enough.
It's
got to
be, what, 2 inches or more? What's the line
right?
Well, if it's snowing like during the game and stuff, that's a different animal.
But no, if because then it could affect him physically. I'm saying it's a mental state. It's a defeated before he takes the field state, and it happens. There's no doubt. You can't prove it, but there's no doubt in my mind it happens. People see things and it affects them.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes in. Let's flip the topic. How does all the trash talk affect the Jets if they lose? Is this what they are going to do, irrespective of results? Prank call. Will be in next week. Where are you guys staying if we get to the Super Bowl? Allison gave me permission to go. Drinks on me all week.
Nice.
Ooh, I think maybe we should make James our mascot if we go because, you know, then the whole week's on him.
Yeah. I got a house you can rent for us.
Actually,
call strippers.
Oh, yeah. Right.
SBRentalAgency.com?
Go listen to the last
Seriously, you got endless money. There's a nice mansion you can rent for the PFW boys.
It comes with a car.
We'll be pulling up to the media center in a Bentley.
Doesn't it come with a Bentley or something like that? Or
I just almost swore. I'm sorry. I almost dropped an F-bomb. I'm sorry, and I think it would have been well deserved.
He just said we'll pull up to the media center in a Bentley. And
literally,
you said, don't they have a Bentley or
five
something?
Words before you don't listen.
What's that?
Speaking of not taking part in the show, part of taking part in the show is listening to what these three other men say. Well, two men and Eric.
Let's see.
That's what the listeners like. They do it every email. I felt like I had to, Eric. I'm sorry.
Are you sorry?
Not
Are
really.
You?
Not really.
Fat
I almost dropped
in.
An F-bomb right there.
Just so you know, I respect your opinions much more than his. You're not retarded like him.
Fat Pat writes in, even though there is
another,
no way
another
I
one
see...
of Andy's backhanded compliments.
Paul, you do look tired. You're yawning over there. You're stretching.
He's an old man. He shoveled yesterday.
Did you shovel yesterday?
Yeah.
A lot of shoveling?
Yeah, I used the snowblower.
Yeah, he was on with
the used a snowblower.
But I had a shovel.
Shovel in the
had a shovel.
Did you do it once or you
oh, no.
I stopped you.
No.
I didn't say
no.
The it. I just said shovel.
Can we replay the tape?
I thought I heard it.
I said he was shoveling the shit.
You just said it again.
Shuh.
The shuh. But if you say it like this, it's shuh.
I don't even know what that means.
You know, Fred, you know what my problem is?
What's
you know
that?
How I live off conflict.
Yeah.
I thrive off of arguing. And
right.
I can't get anybody in an argument today. We all agree too much.
Fat Pat says, even though there's no way
stories.
I see the Pats
nah,
losing. Even though there's no way I see the Pats losing for some reason, I'm trying to think of how I could handle a lose. If we lose this
lose.
I don't know how I could handle a lose.
If we lose this one, how do you think it will compare to the game that shall not be mentioned in the AFC Championship loss in Indy? And before I take off, I'd like to say great job, Fred, for being a soldier yesterday. Eric Paul and Fathead are bigger pussies than Philly fans.
Now that's the way to say it,
oh,
Fred.
Take that shoot and keep it to yourself. How do we say the
how
answer?
Do, how do,
I'm just going to find ways to say
it. Fuck crying out loud. Remember? We
it's
talked
pronounced
about
pronounced Phuket.
No, you have to say fuck crying out loud. And you have to pause appropriately.
Fuck crying out loud.
Yeah.
How does this compare to those losses?
I think it would be worse.
I think
it would be worse, believe it or not, than the 2006 AFC Championship game.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
At home.
I mean, nothing will compare to the.
Yeah, there was no humiliation.
There's nothing that could compare to the game that shall not be named.
No, nothing.
That one was, you know, for a different reason, though.
Right.
This one. It's so much worse because of humiliation.
It's
and
because
you're
of who you're losing
to.
In
who
you're losing.
That Colts game, I don't think fans were like,
up.
We're definitely going to win this. We should win this game.
It was a crushing loss because you had a big
lead. They were mentally
lead.
Prepared to lose that day. They weren't mentally prepared to lose halfway through it,
right.
Which is a difference. But
and it was,
going into the game,
I'm not diminishing
prepared.
It as a loss. It was huge. I just think this would be worse because of who you're losing to. And like Andy said, I mean, 8.5-point favorite. I mean, that's an enormous point spread for a – playoff game. Wow. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. No, I didn't give you that. That was high in my nasally. His is down deep in the throat.
Tim in Pittsburgh, or Tom in Pittsburgh, says no one seems to mention that at midseason our D was ranked 25 in scoring defense and finished the year ranked 8th in the league. Over the course of the season playing almost...
Is that right?
What? I wasn't listening.
Who 8th in the league in scoring defense?
I don't know.
Finish the year. What he's saying. Finish the year ranked 8th in the league.
It's amazing what one decent month will do.
That's how they got the 4.5 on the Andy Hart number that I made up to rank teams. Remember, because they're first in offense and 8th in scoring defense. Adds up to a 9.
Over the
two,
course
4.5.
Of the season, playing almost the same schedule as the Jets, we gave up 9 more points than they did. It's interesting.
Isn't it pretty amazing that you gave up 20 in four of the last 5 games combined? And still gave up more points.
Their numbers
the
were so swayed when they outscored people 100-something to 3 over the whatever.
And it was 7-3-3-7 in 4 of the last 5 games.
Swayed.
Do you think Jason Taylor regrets going to the Jets instead of coming here? He's the Lone Ranger in his locker room, and I still wish he was here. He did have some nice things to say about Brady yesterday. He said,
he likes Tom.
Want to stop him from pointing and celebrating? Don't let him score.
Right. I know Mr. Kraft had the comments early on, but it doesn't sound like there was ever really legitimately the opportunity for him to come here.
Not this year. Yeah.
The year before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there was football interest.
And I agree with the emailer. I think that he probably does. I don't think he feels like he belongs there. I don't think that's his style, Jason Taylor.
But he'll still take the ring if they win.
Oh, of course. I don't think he necessarily regrets going there, but I don't think he enjoys this. Because I don't think that's his. That's never been his way in
what
Miami.
Do you mean by this?
The jawjacking. I don't think that's what he did in Miami.
I don't think he minds the Rex Ryan. I think he
doesn't. No, I'm talking about the teammates.
The Antonio Cromartie does to me is getting lumped in with like what the Jets do. They don't just call people a-holes and F them every week. This is separate from, Fred said trash talking.
Right.
This is a different level. It's personal. It's classless. It's inappropriate. It's
right.
It's not right. And I don't think, if you asked 52 other Jets, truth serum that we like to give Bill when we can, I think 40 of them would probably say it's not right. I don't like it.
Sam in Chicago clears up the whole Fritz
today?
The Cat thing.
You got 5 minutes.
Fritz the Cat was a late 70s animated political piece that had animals, much like Animal Farm, representing different aspects of society. Fritz was the main character, and while I wouldn't label it porn, Fritz does go to a far-out man party in the begging where he stumbles upon some free love in the bathtub.
Okay. So Fritz is a man cat and gets man love?
I don't know.
I don't want any part of that cartoon. I'm glad I missed it.
Fritz Schirmer's rolling in his grave. Is he dead?
All right, so let's get to the picks.
If not, he's banging in his grave. Get me the hell out of here.
Yes.
Lively show.
2 seconds ago, you ripped us for not contributing. Now it's a lively show.
Eric won last week, 3-1.
Wow.
No surprise.
Andy and Fred, 2-2. I was 1-3. And
you
pull
up the rear in these picks.
So. I'm not. I'm in the middle
with,
of the pack.
With the spread, no, Andy and Eric were 3-1, and Fred and I were 2-2.
I once went undefeated in the postseason. So historically, I am dominant.
One of the guys in EEI, you know, Mike Adams, he went 0-4. I think it's pretty hard to go 0-4 in the playoffs.
I went 1-3. Wow. I took a shot.
Oh, you went 1-3?
Yeah.
I was 2-2 with the spread. I went 2-2. I think everyone deserves a loss with Seahawks.
Yeah.
I mean, that was hard to pick.
Except Kevin.
Except Kevin. But he was 1-3, and that was the only one he got right.
3-1.
But Andy and I picked the game proper. I mean, we picked them to cover the
spread. Properly. I'm saying you're supposed to pick Seattle to lose, and that's the right answer. You just take the
like
points.
My pronunciation guide.
Right. There's a little Eric in that. We picked it properly.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. I can look at that. It's much harder to win with the spread.
He's looking at you because you like to feel like you have to start this off by telling him what game we're going to
I don't even know who's playing.
Well, you got to give
Baltimore
all the results,
is
right?
At Pittsburgh. How many times?
We're going to be like a good TV show, and we're going to go over. We're not ending it, too.
Are you just doing a Fredism there? Yeah. Was that what that was? All right, my baggage.
Okay. That's Pat Shermer.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh, hi-ho.
He's young.
Steelers by 3.5.
Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Steelers by 3.5 points.
It's interesting. Ooh.
This is a tough one for Andy. This is going to be...
Shouldn't be.
You know, you're right, Fred. This is going to be a bloodbath, dogfight, and it is probably going to be who comes out swinging if they get an advantage early. You know, can you set the tone with steal a score, onside kick, something early to sway momentum? I am going to take Baltimore. I know they're on the road. I just think they're the better all-around football team, but I will not be surprised either team that wins this. I think they need to run the ball for Pittsburgh to win. I don't think they'll run it well enough, despite how ridiculous Mendenhall is. And Ed Reed back there, Roethlisberger throws those balls up. That's Pick City, USA.
If you're a Patriots fan, are you rooting for the Steelers to win?
No.
No?
And I'll tell you why. Because Patriots fans want revenge for last year's embarrassment here at Gillette. They want the Ravens to come back here, and they want to whoop on them. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Good pick by Andy. Ravens are going to win this game. It's going to be ugly. Going to be a low-scoring affair, but Flacco is finally going to win a very big road game in the playoffs.
Where he already did once, right?
Five.
But
he's like 4-1.
A bigger
one.
This is a really big one.
It's a really big one. A really big
I think the way they described the game is exactly right. I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win it because Roethlisberger does not lose to Baltimore. In 6 in a row, I think he makes it 7.
It's time.
I mean, you're right.
I will take Baltimore with the spread. I'll take the half point is big to me. I think it'll be a field goal game, but Pittsburgh will win it. Could definitely see it going either way. It's a game that's going to be very close and competitive, but similar to the last game that you railed against, Freddie. I don't think it's going to be a very fun one to watch.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to fall in the trap. I thought the Ravens would beat Pittsburgh in Baltimore in December. Pittsburgh won 13-10. I'm going to fall in the trap again, though, and say that Baltimore wins this one, even though it's in Pittsburgh.
I think we are.
Okay, I think we're back.
The whole board shut off.
Yeah, I heard a boop.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I agree with you guys. I think Baltimore is a better team, but for whatever reason, Roethlisberger.
No, you're right. I think
number.
It's all about matchup here, but this time I think Baltimore gets it done. So, obviously, being the underdog, I go both ways. I'm waiting for Andy's comment, but I didn't get one.
That's so perplexing that there's no comment. Like.
Well, the second part of competitive Saturday is Green Bay at Atlanta.
I don't think ESPN will go with that. Competitive Saturday.
I'm saying there's two competitive games on tap for Saturday.
Showdown Saturday.
Two non-competitive. Two blowouts on tap for Sunday.
Suck ass Sunday.
The Falcons are at home, favored by 2.5.
Falcons at home, favored by 2.5. I guess I'm going with it. I guess I'm going with the two road teams on Saturday. Green Bay at Atlanta, right?
Yeah, but I don't like your pick. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I just think Green Bay is a good football team, and now that they've brought
James Starks to the rest of the world's attention for a guy that I've known for months and months and months now could play. That's all they lacked, because they have the defense, they have the pass rush, all three levels of defense. I think Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. I think they got all the makings. If they can run it a little bit and open up the passing game, that's enough. And you can run on the Falcons, so I'm going to take Packers as the better team.
I agree with most of what you said about the Packers. That's a good summation of their where they are right now.
Thank you, Eric.
But I just like the Falcons at home, and I think they are going to get it done.
Yeah, this is a tough one to pick.
I just hate
it's a tough game, but I like the Falcons at home.
I'm worried about the bye week factor and the rest, but otherwise, Green Bay to me is vastly superior in talent in this game. I agree with what Andy said. I think Atlanta's defense is absolutely awful, and I think that Green Bay, if they were physically ready to go, would march it up and down the field. The only difference in the last time these teams played, you know, Rodgers fumbles inside the 1 yard line on a play he was probably in the end zone on. They had all kinds of mistakes and still lost on the very last play of the game. I don't think they make those mistakes this time. And I think they leave and have a chance to play in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons have fooled me all year. I just don't think they're a team as good as their record. But, you know, as the guy said,
shows you what good coaching can
do. You know,
do,
you are what your record says you
team.
Are. You know, and,
top five in points scored, top five in points allowed.
But I'm going to go with Green Bay to win this game.
All right, the next game
is... Obviously, you're going to go both ways on it.
Seattle at Chicago, Andy.
I'm a Packer.
The Bears by 10.
You catcher or receiver? What?
Bears
by
10
over Seattle.
I think I always will be a Packer.
See, yeah, I'm going to take the Bears. They're at home. They had the bye. Theoretically, over a season, they've proven themselves the better football team based on Paul Perillo's win-based formula for deciding who's good. But I still have
that fear
in the back of my mind. I hate Jay Cutler. I just saw a press conference with him with his hair
and his pouty
scruffy face.
Yeah,
looks like he was out drinking last night and just came in from the club. I hate him. Hate him.
He does always look like he's sort of hungover.
Well, Fred believes he has a drinking problem, and that's Fred.
He's not afraid to share that on the air either.
So I'll go with that defense is what I'm going with. I don't see Matt Hasselbeck doing what he did last week against the Saints, doing it against that pretty good Bears defense. So I'll take the Bears, even though I'm scared to death of Jay Cutler.
I'm actually, you know, I'm just the opposite with this game as I was with the Falcons and the Packers. I think the Seahawks are capable of pulling off the upset precisely because Cutler is so up and down. You never know which Cutler you're going to get 1 week. Is he going to be the 4 or 5 interception guy, or is he going to be the guy who throws 3 or 4 touchdowns? I think the rest that you were talking about, Paul, is going to affect the Bears more than it's going to affect the Falcons this week. I think the Seahawks pull off one more upset before their magical run ends.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Chicago. I will point out that Seattle
You like Chicago.
I will point out that Seattle beat Chicago in Chicago in the regular season. Mm. But the only way that this doesn't go is the way that Andy said. These two Sunday games are very similar. The home team can lose the game, but the visiting team can't win it. Mm. And Seattle will not even be competitive in this game unless Cutler makes them competitive.
And we know he won't scuff his balls before the game.
That's true. You never know what happens without scuffed balls.
I agree with Paul, but I'm making a sacrificial pick. I just want to be on the right side just in the event that
you're making the point that Cutler will make the turnovers.
So I'm going to
Squaring off with me, Shepard.
I'm going to go that way and just hope for it, but not really believing it.
So who did you pick? Seattle?
You picked Seattle. Yeah. Right.
That was a convoluted way of saying Seattle.
I didn't know who he picked at the end of that sentence.
It's a sacrificial pick. Sacrificial pick.
He's taking
one
record
for the team.
I'm taking the Seahawks.
It's the right pick, Fred.
You know, like the men of service, he's one of the more courageous men that I've ever seen. He's taking one for the team.
That's right.
True.
All right. The game that we've already beaten to death.
Do we need to
eight
go around?
I don't think we eight even and a need hay.
To. Eight and a hay.
Eight and a hay.
I'll go with the trends. Patriots last four playoff openers, 18.5-point victories average. I think it'll be in that range, 17 points. What, you know, Paul's been saying 34-17. I'm not sure the Jets will get to 17. I think the Patriots will be in the 30s, and the Jets will be down around 10. And that's what I said at the beginning of the week. If the Patriots can lose it, Jets can't win it.
Yeah.
Patriots have to turn it over 2+ times for this to be even competitive.
And they won't.
And they won't. Eric's right. Tom Brady, when he's extra motivated, whoops some ass. So 300 yards, a couple spikes, maybe a couple points.
Several points.
And very good comments post-game from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady about the Jets.
Final score, folks, 31-14 New England.
Okay.
I think we all have the similar kind of score, 30-something to somewhere in the teens.
72-2.
Surprised
and
you gave him that, too.
Given to them.
I'm surprised
Brian Hoyer.
Surprised you gave him that, too.
All right. Hey, a rare crossover opportunity here with the Pete Shepherd.
Wow.
The?
Hey, Pete.
The. Right.
Wow.
Hi, the.
Are you as psyched as we are about
look
this game
look
coming
at him.
Up?
He's got a little twitch going.
All this positive thinking in this room. What is going on? What is happening?
I know. It's usually everything but Patriots.com.
The last 15 weeks or so would rub off on all you guys.
It's fair and balanced, Pete.
Simultaneous pom-pom.
We call them as we see them.
No, I agree. I totally. And I agree about the Seattle-Chicago game. I pick Seattle. Oh, you guys do point spread numbers or you just pick them?
I picked them with the spread. I didn't pick them to win the game.
Exactly. Because any time Cutler's on the field, who's just, you know, he can lose a game at any time. So it doesn't matter.
It's never a good thing when you say that about your quarterback.
Well, that's why I give Seattle a chance. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, Pete, what are you going to be talking about today? You all over Cromartie and Rex Ryan and all that stuff?
And Suggs opened his mouth again on Sirius Radio and all that. It's so childish. You know, the whole thing is childish.
They hate us.
It's going to back.
They don't have your maturity level, Pete.
but why don't these guys and coaches and players just learn from history? And, you know, 99% of the time, if you look back over the teams that have said this kind of stuff, they don't just get beat, they get killed. They get killed. Right. And I think Dilfer came out today on ESPN, had a conference call earlier, and just told it like it was. I'm going to read his quotes later on, if you guys haven't already.
Well, he said that Brady's going to unleash hell on them. Yes.
I think he's right.
Yeah. Hell hath no fury like a Brady.
I think he's right.
Scorned.
Yeah. All right, Pete, have a good show. Okay, and as for us, have a good game Sunday. Remember, F-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet. We want to hear everybody go crazy, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.